interesting, this perek begins with the din of Kiddushan Ayinei Shliach. That's the whole theme of this perek. This week's Sedrin, Parshat Chayisar, has the original case of Kiddushan Ayinei Shliach. That's how the Chachamim interpret the Parshat. The Chumash says that Avram sent Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak. So the simple pshat and pasuk you could read that Avram sent Eliezer to get a wife, and then he brought back the girl, and then he married Rivka after she came back. And Yitzchak was Mekadesh, so the Talmud interprets differently. Talmud interprets that Eliezer was a shliach to be Mekadesh to do the Kiddushin, and when he was and that's why the pasuk says in Chumash, Vayikach Le'Eved Asor Migmali Adon, he took 10 camels. What in the world did he need 10 camels for? So Medrash says, because he wanted to say the Birchas Eirusin, you have to have a minion. He took 10 camels, not because he didn't need 10 camels, he needed 10 men. He needed 10 people for a minion. He didn't want to be Mitzarev the Goyim from Aram Nara. They took along 10 Yidin from Eretz Israel, and he needed 10 camels for the 10 Avodim, for the minion. He was an Eved, So the Midrashim, they talk about this kasha. How can an Eved serve as the Shliach for Kiddush?
But they have another line. He would have died, so he would have been able to get married.
This is how the Talmud interprets the Midrashim. The Midrashim interprets that Eliezer wasn't sent to bring a girl back, that Yitzchak should marry the girl when she'll come back. Eliezer did the Kiddushin in Aram Naharayim. And then when it came back, Yitzchak did the Nisuin in person. That's a problem, right? That's a problem. So the Midrashim, interprets that Avram appointed him as a shliach, and Yitzchak agreed. Yitzchak agreed to the deal. Yeah, father can't appoint a shliach for his son, only for the daughter, right? Even if the son is not a godol.
Cannot marry off his son.
There's one opinion in the Rishonim that a father can marry his son off if the son is before bar mitzvah, that's the Rebar Barzilai. Rishlamel quotes that's an opinion from Rishonim, but it wasn't accepted by the others. The overwhelming majority of the Rishonim didn't accept. And it's not based on the din that just like the father can marry off the daughter, so the father can marry off the son. It's based on a completely different principle. And Zachem Yodim Shalai Defana. So we assume that the father is going to pick out a girl for his son. You're going to pick out a very good shidduch. But since it's a tchus for the son that the father should marry him off at a young age and he shouldn't have hirhurim, he shouldn't have to worry about finding shidduch later, so Zachem Yadim Shleid Lefonim makes the son marry. That's the opinion that the Rebbe Barzilai said. And it still wasn't accepted by the other Rishon. We don't pass
that. Don't you have a different problem still? Then all the arranged marriages with both minors, the daughter isn't pledged either. Do they have that on both of them?
No, if the daughter is before 12 and a half.
If father has pledged with a young man who
can't pledge his son. No.
No, let's say they pledge two infants. Right. And the daughter is pledged.
The father has the right to marry off his daughter till the age of 12 and a half.
But not if there's not a binding side.
Right. Doesn't mean anything. If there's no chasm, the Talis father can't pledge anything.
There's a lot of kashas,
but the Medrash interprets like this, that Eliezer was sent as a shliach to do the Kiddushin on behalf of Yitzchak. And he did the Kiddushin there. And then when the girl came back, when Rivka came back, then Yitzchak did the Nisuin in person. Nisuin cannot be done by the shliach. The Nisuin had to be done in person. And the Medrash continues to say that that's why Eliezer had to take 10 gemalim. He didn't need 10 camels, he needed 10 men for the minion. But you need a minion even for Birchas Eirus, and this is the question.
He needed 10 gemalim for the ride, is that it?
He needed 10 gemalim to carry the 10 people who were needed for the minion. Right. And then the Medrash continues that it says, by Baruch Hu Es Rivka, that they recited the bracha. What bracha did they recite? So the Shulchan says that they recited the Birchas Eirus. That from this pasuk we derive, the Shulchan comments on this week's Seder, from this pasuk we derive that even if a shliach is mekadesh the Yisha, not only if the chasim gives the kedushin in person, even if the shliach is mekadesh the isha on behalf of the chosim, the shliach can recite the Birchas Eirus, and this is learned out from the pasuk by Baruch Hu Es Rivka. It's interesting that Netziv, in his commentary on the Shulchan, Netziv was the father of Rav Meir Bar Ilana. His name was Berlin, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Balozhin. He was of Hershelay. I don't know. I guess he rode on one of the camels. I guess he rode on one of the camels, and the other nine rode on the other nine camels. I don't know. That's what the Medrash said. So the Netziv has a very interesting comment on this Medrash We all know that brachas are all midirabbanan. Who is the marriage trying to fool? What do you mean by bracha and zivka that they decided the birchas everything? The Gemara says dan shekneses hagdola. The early Tanaim, when the Sakin, they instituted all of the brachas that we recite when we do mitzvahs, when we eat food. But how does the Medrash interpret the pasuk over here that they recited birchas erusin? What kind of birchas erusin? It didn't exist yet. So he points out, actually, this is a difficult... Leave out the Medrash. Medrash is a Medrash. But there's a Mishnah in Maseches Ma'aseh Sheni. The Mishnah says, regarding Vidui Ma'aseh, the Torah tells us that on Pesach of the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle, on Pesach of the seventh year of the Shemitah year, every farmer has to get rid of all the truma that he has in the house. My solution, my shame, give it all away, everything from the last 3 years, and he has to recite the Yati Hakodesh Men Habayit, the Gam Masat of Lalev, Lagel, 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 and so on. The Avartin in its Vesecha, Veloy Shachachti. So Rashi quotes the Mishnah. This is a Mishkin Agarit, it's not a Medrash. Rashi quotes the Mishnah, Veloy Shachachti, Milav Olechecha. I didn't forget to recite the bracha on Afrosh's truma. What kind of bracha on Afrosh's truma? The brachas are all laid in the Rabbanan. How does the Tanaim interpret this in the Pasuk? It's an asmachta, remnant. What do they say when the farmer says, Lo shachachti, he prides himself to the Rosh Hashanah about the fact that he hasn't forgotten to recite the bracha on Afrosh's truma. The brachas on Afrosh's truma is only the Rabbanan. So the Netziv says it would appear that it's not so pashut that the brachas are wrong with the Rabbanan. The Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, it was way before the Anshei Knesset HaGadol. The Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, when Shaul lost the donkeys and he was looking for them, and then he said he should go ask the Navi will tell him where the missing donkeys are. And then the Navi appointed him as the Melech Israel after that mice. So the Pasuk says that he met the girls, and he asked them where's the Navi, and he was so attractive, so they started a whole conversation with him. So they told him, they started giving a whole story where he's going to find Shmuel HaNavi. So they tell him part of the story is that Shmuel is over there, and he's going to bring a carbon, and he's going to say the blessing before he shechts the carbon. Hu yivarech et hazera. The rabbi will recite the benediction before he shechts the carbon. What kind of a benediction did he say? What kind of a bracha did he say? It's a postik. That's not a very midrash. It's a postik. Hu yivarech et hazera. What's he going to say? Shehakol mi b'dvar before he eats the flesh. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like he's going to recite a birchas hamitzvah before he shechts the flesh, or before he eats the carbon. So the Netziv develops a whole theory based on these three makoros, and he adds on a few more makoros. He thinks that although birchas hamitzvah are normally the rabbanon, and they were instituted way, way later in the tkufa, in the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the early times of the Tanoim, it would appear from the Tanakh in different places that brachas in connection with Inyani Kedusha existed way before. So the bracha regarding hafrosh of trumas and maisers, like the Gemara said, truma is kodesh. Not as kodesh as a carbon, but it's kodesh in comparison to gittin kedushin, comparison to gerushin. So truma is an Indian of creating kedusha. It would appear lo shachachti milavarechecha that they had to recite a bracha on a level of their maiser before they created the Indian of kedusha. And regarding hu yivareches hazevach, Shmuel HaNavi was expected, the girl said he's going to recite a bracha before he shechts the carbon or before he eats the carbon, because also in connection with the many carbonas, which are more coded than truma, there's also a bracha. And then in the Tziv Adzan and Ariches, they would appear that the Medrash here on this week's Parsha and Chayisar considered Kiddushin also as an immune of Kiddushin. The Gemara says it a little bit as an agaritis, that when a man says Harayat Mikudeshes Li, what does the word Mikudeshes mean? Why doesn't he say Harayat Ishti, Harayat Arusasi? Why doesn't he say Harayat Mikudeshes? So the Gemara says it's not a biblical Hebrew, it's a rabbinical Hebrew. The Gemara on the first daf says, based on the base in Kiddushin, that Mikudeshes is a Lishna de Rabbanon. The whole terminology of Harayat Mikudeshes is a rabbinical language. What is the meaning of the rabbinical language of Harayat Mikudeshes? Just like Hegdish is also the Kuli Alma because it has Kedusha, so too the wife is also the Kuli Alma because there's some kind of a Kedusha or issues involved over here. And the Netziv explains that this has sources in the Chumash. It's not just a term which was invented mid the Rabbana, and the whole concept is mid the Rabbana. No, the concept is Minat Torah. We have Avnei Nezer has a Tshuva where he quotes in the name of the Kuzari that whenever the Torah speaks of Tumah, the idea of Tumah is that something that had Kodesh, something that had Kedusha, when it becomes Tumah, its level of Kedusha is lowered. When a carbon becomes Tumah, he's not permitted to eat it. When a coin is Tumah, he's not allowed to do Hakrovas HaKarbonas. When anybody's Tumah, we're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to eat Karbonas when we are Tumah. Whenever something becomes Tumah, or somebody becomes Tumah, so the level of Kedusha is lowered, and they don't have the same capability to do Kedusha as they had before. There's one apparent exception to the rule. The Torah gives a din if a married woman from Eishes Ish is Nizana Tachas Baila, so the Chumash says Vinitmo'o. What kind of expression is that Vinitmo'o? What happened over here? What Kedusha was there that disappeared? So the Abnei says, based on this, Kuzar and Isha was a Rashi and Sota Davos, says like that, that there's an institution of Kedusha, so issues. The Lishna is a Lishna, the Rabbanon. Harei HaMukudeshes is only rabbinical language, but the concept is a concept on a level of deraisa. That when the couple gets married, there's some type of Kedusha involved in the marriage, and when the wife does something that causes them to get divorced, it's impossible to, when she's Mizana, and the Torah requires that they have to get divorced, that's called Vinitmo. Something happened to the Kedusha, and it was Nivgimo, and it's lowered, and it no longer retains its previous level of Kedusha, previous status of Kedusha that it had. So the Netziv suggests that he thinks that the Medrash is saying something serious over here. It's not Sama Medrash. That's not to be taken seriously. Perhaps by Vohuet Rivko, and the Shilpas quotes the Medrash, and not Pasuk Mikan, that if a Shliach is Mikadish and Isha on behalf of the Chosin, the Shliach recites the Birchas Eirusin. So it really, it's not Sama Nasmachta. Perhaps it really means that they recited the Birchas Eirusin, because Birchas Eirusin is similar to the Bracha on Korbanos and to the Bracha on Afrashas Trum. In this sense, it's a birchas hamitzvah in connection with the davish or kedusha, and birchas hamitzvah. It would appear, and these brachas really existed there. It wasn't a chiyuv. There were no mitzvahs at that time. They only had seven mitzvahs in Enoch. But this was already an older minhag that existed already before Matan Torah, to recite brachas whenever they would be doing something in connection with an inyan of kedusha. In this week's schedule, the Torah starts off with a real Vindya Raisa that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and all the parts of the Din of Kevah Yisrael. There's a halacha in our period that you're not permitted to bury Jews and Goyim in the same day that Torah. You have to adopt the day and a separate day that Torah. It's a big problem in Europe in recent years. And the Goyim always used to have separate, they didn't have separate from the Goyim. And then in this century, they decided that everything should be interfaith and everybody should be buried together. So it poses big problems to the Pesukim point out. So what, you don't have to have that much heavy soil over here, the Kever Akum over there, if it's close, it's close to this. How close is it permissible, how close may be? So the Pesukim say it has to be at least 8 amos apart from each other, because the Kever has a din for the Rabbanan that it's Tefes Tumah until 4 amos around it. If you're within Dal Amos, if you lean over a Kever, you come in at Tefes. But if you're within Dal Amos of the Kever, you come in the Rabbanan. You see that the Kever is considered in the Rabbanan, up until it extends the Rabban until 4 amos away. So if you have a Yiddish kever, a Yiddish very next to a Goy within 8 amos of each other, the two Tfusis HaKevers are interlocking, so that's considered as if it's one base HaKor. If you have the Goy buried over here, the Yiddish buried over here 8 amos away, so then the Behetet, right, from the day, it's not the Behetet that we have. Some pastors say, what Behetet, when Behetet, they look, the whole Behetet doesn't say. So this really age points out there were two Behetet, the old Behetet from the Marib. We don't have it printed in our old Behetet. Later Achan got excited, what are they talking about, the old Behetet? So he says, if we all say the Behetet of Shalom Arit, which is not the one, it's printed in our, but that's a tongue and in the person. You have to have a hachoke of 8 damas. And then some came up with that. I'm sorry, I promise, the going didn't let them. It gave such a small plot of land that you'd be marking 8 damas. That's the whole place that was, is 8 damas. So there's no room to do it. So they came up with an Einfall and make Amachitza. And they could put up a wall and it'll be marked between the Goyishis and the Yiddish and the Goyishis. So the Milchas Alavis says in his Tshuva, the Milchas writes that it doesn't help that the Mechitz is good on top of the ground, but the people are there under the ground. So what good is that? He says, you have to have Harchot of 8 Amos. There's no room to speak. These are real Dinda rights. It's learned that from today's study that Avraham Avinu came to bury Stoll. So they tell him, the Milchas Tavei Kores Mesech will give you the best place. He says, no, he insists that he must purchase a separate cemetery. Has to be separate, and he wouldn't even be asking that they should give him a separate section 8 amos away. No, he has to buy it, and the pastor will say, because if you don't buy it, also in Europe, the Goyim didn't want to let the Jewish community purchase the cemetery. They said it'll belong to the municipality, and we'll give the Jews permission to bury here. The Goyim, there we will observe the potato that this should only be for Jews, and that should be for Goyim. So the person say that you can't trust them. You can't trust them. They may change their mind tomorrow. If you buy the Beis HaKvaros, then you're the balabas. You did the mamonis. You have a deed. You have a star. So then you know that it's going to remain a Yiddish Beis HaKvaros. But if you're leaving it up to the Goyish and Meluche, so they may decide tomorrow to change it and make everything in the same cemetery. So there won't be any cavity. So if you have to doubt to buy it to make sure that it belongs to you, that they shouldn't be able to switch it later. So we all do the rest. What's that kpeda there? I call out Rashi there. Why such a kpeda that you have to listen to the yevid if a person is buried in a kivayakum? Usually there's a din that you're not allowed to take that on me unless you want to take the straw, unless you want to take the kever of it. So what if there's no kever of it, there's no straw, just want to take out a mace from a mixed cemetery to take it into a Jewish cemetery. So the poskim also pass that it's mutus, a din to the yevid, even if he's buried out too close, you have to take him out of the kivayakum, take him into the kever straw. Some poskim even went so far to say that a coin is the mitzvah, a din for a mace mitzvah. But if a yid is, if they say, never have time, I'll get it. If a yid is buried in the kivayakum, so it's a din for a mace mitzvah, that even though he is buried, you're allowed to take, coins, allowed to be in the time in order to take him out and bury him in the kever straw. What's the whole din? I thought perhaps the halacha is the following. The Gemara has a din in Megillah. The Gemara quotes a brisa in Megillah that there's a philip from Tashmisha and Mitzvah and Tashmisha Kedush. If you have a Sefer Torah Shibola, you have an old Sefer Torah, it's filling, it's possible on the Google, it's possible on, so you can't just throw it out in the garbage. Even if like, all the shames, everything is left out, it's just clock. As soon as you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage, you have to put it in the shame. It's totally easy. Tashmisha Kedusha on the Gnosi. Tashmisha Mitzvah, let's say I have an old palace and it's all to listen. I have an old shofar that doesn't work anymore. I have a lulav that I don't need 50 years over and I can't use it next year. I have a sukkah. The Gemara says you can throw it out in the garbage. The Rishonim quote, in the end of the Rizal has a riot in the Gemara in Shabbat that you shouldn't take, let's say, an old avatambus and an old sukkah and wrap up your garbage in it. You shouldn't wrap up the smelly fish and throw it in together with the palace. Just put the palace in the step. But they don't throw it in the garbage. You throw it out to cover it. You throw it out to deserve. But the basic reason is that it's rocking to throw it out in the garbage. But apparently, that's the halacha over here, that the Bnei Yisrael have a Kedusha to Yisrael, the body has a Kedusha. The body has a Kedusha, so Kedusha to Yisrael, even after the person dies and he no longer is useful, like a Tilin Shabbola, so Tilin Shabbola, it has a din of Tashmish Kedusha that it's Mignozim, it's Tom Kabir, and it becomes a Dikha Tash. Now, Shani came going to even a Fruma Goy. Finally, he observed all the Shem Mitzvahs. Any great doctor, not only he observed Mitzvahs, even a single, he did Mitzvahs. But the most he can say that he is a Tashmisha Mitzvah. He can't say he's a Tashmisha Kedush, he doesn't have a Kedush. So we can understand why the halacha is the Ramban says, Achon Mishivarim, that the Mitzvah Kedush only applies to Israelis. The Nachrim is not Mitzvah Kedush, unless it's an Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk says, the Lois of Tamish, I'm not, the Pasuk says, He Yidush, Eit Mishpat Novus, the Humas, when a person is Tainisa, the Salis or Salawait, you have to get clear. They don't think, well, Salim is not Salawait, you cover the blood of my Yamahu, you have to get clear. The Lois of Tamish, I'm not, you shouldn't be Matami Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, and that person, that there are two dinim. One dinim, to kill us and the Kim Tolu, the Bnei Yisrael, I brought him Lamok. The Goyim and I brought him Lamok, you say, Yid, whether he lives, whether he dies, my Yisrael, and which Lord, is a din of Halon HaSaneh. You have to bury on the same day, a Goy. The Goyim and I brought him Lamok. No. Tell him of the king, it's a different idea, but it's not called Bottom Lamok. You can't really say that kill us and the Kim Tolu. So you don't have that Koy for Kukura, you can't kill us and the Kim Tolu. But if it's an Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban says, then it's the other Koy for. The Lois of Thomas and Moshe are Shoshan HaKoch HaMoshe. The Ramban says that point says to Yeshua. It says when they killed the Lamed Aleph Melachim, it says that they hung them up on the trees, and then they buried them before the Shkia Sakamo, the Mekai Mimit, the Tzim Yishol, the Mekai Mimit, it says in the Torah, not to leave them overnight. The Ramban says that's the problem with Eretz Yisrael. The Lamed Aleph Melachim and Eretz Yisrael. But in Kutzlars, there's no Chorib to the Mekab of the Gagino. Why not? So the Chorib, that's the reason why, because the Goyish Yibuf is a Tashmish and Mitzvah. Even Afluma Goy is a Tashmish and Mitzvah. Shari Kinayi is a Tashmish and Mitzvah. The only Shaila is, what do you mean? And you can't bury both together either. That's also bizarre. Let's say I have old Jerusalem, I have old Jerusalem, but I put in some joke books also on the shame. So that's also bizarre. It's not just the din if you throw out the safer time, the garbage is bizarre. If you bury the Divrei Chol, it's also bizarre. You have to bury a doctor with only Divrei Kedusha, not to put it together with Divrei Chol. You have to bury Dafki separately. You're not supposed to put Tashmish in the Tashmish in the Shinta. You have to have it separately. Well, Shaila is, what do you mean? How do you determine whether something is Tashmish in the Tashmish in the Shinta? The Ramban holds is the Machlokes, the Ramban, another Rishon. Let's say a palace that's in good shape. A palace that's to listen. So the Gemara says, Tashmish in the Shinta is rough. What if it's a palace that's in good shape? So the Ramban holds a cold man that is only in the Shinta. It does have a Shinta. Has a kedusha thereof. Ramban says we learn out in the pasuk that Hashem Shemayim Alat Kukir. Pasuk says Chavas Kukir
Fasa Lechon Shivas Yom Lashem. So the Gemara says, what does it mean Chava Sukkah? That Sukkah is compared to a Korma Chagigah. Chava Sukkah means a Korma Chagigah. Sukkah is like a Korma. That the Shem Shachal Shem Shemaim Ara Chagigah, Chachal Shem Shemaim Ara Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah got taken out. The Gemara quotes in Bama Madlikim, the 7th day of Shabbos, in the middle of the Sukkah of Chanukah. And the Ram says that that Pasuk is not only limited to Sukkah, and that only applies also to the Dalad Minim, like Rashi's Sukkah, Bukesh to the Sukkah, and that's a universal din. But all Tashmish and Mitzvah have to do with Man Mitzvah. All Tashmish and Mitzvah have to do, so what's the whole thing Tashmish and Mitzvah, Tashmish and Gdusha? This is not Tashmish and Gdusha, they have continued to preserve the Gdusha even after they no longer run the Mitzvah. All Tevatar is Bola, it's all Tevatar that became fixed to them. So it still retains the Gdusha, but Tashmish and Mitzvah only have Gdusha called Man Mitzvah, and after we play the word, how do you distinguish? How do you know what's called the Tashmish and Mitzvah and what's called the Tashmish and Gdusha? How do you distinguish from one another? So the Chayre, the way they usually say is, when you say the Philippines, the Tashmish and Gdusha means something that has the Gdusha of Tzav. Something that's Tzav over the Gdusha of Tzav. So if the Torah is filled with a mezuzah, has the Gdusha of Tzav. Or Beis HaMikdash, or Beis HaKnas, it's also called Tashmish and Gdusha. And you feel it's not only Tashmish and Mitzvah, it's Tashmish and Gdusha. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash only has Gdusha because you have the Luchas there. The whole Likur of Beis HaMikdash, we just start listening. The whole Likur of Beis HaMikdash is, it's called Mishkan HaEdus. And Mishkan HaEdus is because you have Luchas HaEdus there. And by Shadim, they didn't have the Luchas there, but the Raman quotes that they had the Luchas in the basement. And if there weren't the Luchas in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash, there wouldn't be any Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't make any sense to have the Beis HaMikdash without any Luchas. And the Raman writes the same in the Luchas Tzima regarding Beis HaKnesses. If you have, let's say, a minion where there's no Sefer Torah, even if they it's always the room is the Yuchat Tadabin, and it's not called the Tzishas Beis HaKnesses. Because that's like in Beis HaMikdash. There's no Indian of Tzishas Beis HaMikdash without Luchas. There's no Indian of Tzishas Beis HaKnesses. Without a Sefer, it's not merely because you have to lay in the base of the hay of the Shabbos of the Yom Tov in Rosh Chodesh. Let's say it's a minyan where they never lay, they just dive in Mincha Ma'arav. So they don't need any Sefer Torah. The Rambam says, no, it's not going to have a Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses if there's no Sefer Torah. Because in order to have Kedusha, Kedusha has to rest on Torah. Some kind of a minyan of Kedusha is like Sav, Kedusha is Torah. Because the Torah Kedusha has to have Kedusha of Sav. And the Beis HaKnesses, or Beis HaMikdash, have to be built around an Aron. Has to be built around a Luchat something. So what's over here? Masheni can let's say Tashmish and Mitzvah. According to Rav Rishonim, don't have any Kedusha. According to the Ramban, they have a temporary Kedusha. Why? Because they are not based on any Kedusha Tzav. What is it? A Shofar, a Lulav, Sukkah, Tzav. That's not Tzav. So what's over here? The union that a Yiddish Aguf has a Kedusha Tzav. How do they have Kedusha Tzav? According to Tashmish and Kedusha. The goyim don't have it. They're only tashmishay mitzvah. So after they're dead, so they're no longer under the mitzvah, since the tashmishay mitzvah is dropped. And the Yiddish group is considered the tashmishay kedusha, and it has to be ignored, and that's covered for the kedusha. What is the kedusha going to have? What kind of kedusha is tzav? Apparently, if through the yeshiva shereid, that they usually say, that it's from tashmishay mitzvah, tashmishay kedusha, then it has to rest on kedusha tzav with the Raman by Beis HaKnesses, and so on, the whole thing. So what's the pshat by a goofy sword? What do you mean kedusha sisro? What's not kedusha sisro? Apparently also the Kedusha Sisrael rests on the fact that there is some kind of exile, there is some kind of Torah there. The Gemara tells us, that Rabbi tells him in Mida that before every baby is born, the Yiddish baby, the Malach teaches the baby to tell, then he makes him forget. So what does he teach him about Kedusha? Apparently to give him this Kedusha Sisrael. This is the way the Kedusha begins with the Torah. If the person learns later on, so he develops the Kedusha Sisrael, he goes, well, I am a good, but he doesn't learn a word. And he's not holding by Torah at all, but he still has that, that the Kedusha of Liman HaTorah. So that's L'chor the Pshat, Chadim Be'erais, the Tevi Yisrael, Allah Choshev Adin. Today, so many people on the Lord of God, just this week, a rabbi called me up, and after that guy called me up, as a serious shayla called me up, according to 12 at night, as a serious shayla that he accepted a Levaya, and then he was asking where the, he's going to say eulogy, for someone he didn't know. And he asked where the burial going to be, so he told him something he never heard of, and then he finally realized at 11:30, that at the military cemetery in New Jersey, they had men going buried together, and the woman who died was a poor woman, so he buried next to her husband, who was buried there. He was a colonel, he was a woman, so he buried there. And I go in Shabbat HaKvar, he went to look and he officiated the Levi. Mom, this week said, that's the Parsha of Chai Yisrael, you're not allowed to have a Tevah Yisrael mixed in with the Goyim, so Chazav is to do that. It's like taking Sheamus and throwing him in the garbage. As that thing. The Chor that's to do. The Chor that halacha is because the Kedusha Yisrael, like the Guf HaYisraeli has, is like a Kedusha Tzav because of the Torah that we all have in our neshama. Even if the person doesn't learn, the woman never had a shaykes of learning at all. This woman who died, her husband also had no shaykes. But still, we consider our pidin as a Kedusha Tzav. And it's considered like shameless that you're not permitted to be mevazir by throwing it together with garbage, by putting it even together with tashmish and mitzvah. It's also designed. You have to bury dafkin and a makam mechubit with the Mume is another thing. You're not permitted to bury a tzadik eitz or roshlo. It's another thing.
In the beginning of this week's Sedra, in Parshas Chayisara, the Torah tells us the way Avraham Avinu purchased the Yoreh HaMachpelah in Kiryat Arba, Hebron, for burying Sarah. So the prophet says that they wanted to pay, and Ephraim wanted to give it to him for nothing. So finally, he's going to pay 400 shekel kesef or be'alot sochet. So it says, Vayikach Ephraim. Ephraim took the money. Vayikach. So the Gemara has a famous Rishava in the beginning of Kiddushin. How do you know that when you get married, you give a ring? How do you know Mikadosh Ayilei Kesef? Kiddushin Shtar is one more. Kiddushin Bi is another more. How do you know there's such an institution of Kiddushin Kesef? So the Gemara derives it from the Gzera Shavu Kicha Kicha. It says Kicha Ish Isha, when a man gets married, and it doesn't say how does he get married, but the term Kicha is mentioned. Kicha, and here it says Vayikach Ephron et HaKesef, and he took Vayikach Avram et HaKesef. It says Kicha on the money. So just like Kicha means that he took the cash and he was paying the karka, he's paying the Moras HaMachpelah by paying money. So too, that's the way a Jew can marry his wife, by paying money. So the Apikurism throughout the years always used to make fun of the Rabbanim. That their vision of getting married is like you buy real estate, so you buy yourself a wife. It's private property, and he can do with his wife whatever he wants. Just like you buy real estate, so you buy a wife. That was the taina that they had against the Rabbanim, against the Orthodoxy. So Shimshon Fal Hirsch has a famous essay where he explains that it's a mistake. That that's not what the Chachamim, it's obviously not what the Chachamim had in mind. The Chachamim had in mind the following. Just like Avraham Avinu loved his wife so much, he wanted to buy Dafke, the Moras HaMachpelah, because there was a gula there. He knew that Odom Arishon and Chava were buried there. And that's a special Mokom Yucha. There was only place for four couple. Apparently he knew they're going to be Gimel Ovis, and Odom and Chava are going to be the first couple buried in another three. So he wanted the Dafke to spend so much money for his wife because he loved her so much, not only Mechabda Mechaim, Mechabda Lacham Oisav. Even after she died, he spent so much money to buy such a Mokom Choshu to bury her. So the Chachami wanted us to know we should all love our wives as much as Avraham Avinu loved his wife. Just like he spent so much money, he should also spend. That's the Gavana Kicha Kicha. That's how the Rabbina Hirsha. In Shulchan Aruch, they assume for such a Dova Pashur that this is not the correct assumption. They write the following, the Sma, right in Chayesh Mishpat, there's a famous dispute between the Sma, the one commentary on the side of Chayesh Mishpat, the state in the USA, right? And the Taz, the three Zov on the bottom of the page. The Sma writes like this. The Gemara says, how do you kind of character? You're selling an apartment building. So the Gemara says, I can be kind of the kesef. How? I'm selling the building for $500,000. I'll give you a dollar. It doesn't cost a dollar. It costs $500,000. So the Sma says, you're not kind of the house until you pay up all the money. Hi, but the Gemara says, the fair she can be kind of character, the pruta, a penny. So says, either that's the whole price of the house, a penny. Not worth too much. The character's not worth too much. Or, you can make a legal loophole. I can pay you a penny and say the whole house is paid up for, and I owe you $500,000 on the side, but not for the demand method. That's a legal fiction. That's called the kifas milva. This is paid up, and I owe you the money as a chutzah. I no longer owe you money for demand method. The mekach is only for a dollar. You're telling me the house for a pruta, for a penny, and the rest of the money is not owed because of the purchase. So the Sma understands that the idea of kesef is kind of karka. It's kesef piron. You pay for the value of that. So the Taz has a haftoge. He disagrees with the Sma. And the Acharim say the Taz is 100% right. The Gemara learns that kicha kicha. How you mekadesh an isha, the kesef, is learned that from how you kind of character the kesef. So let me go and say, just like I pay for the value of the house and it's mine, so I pay for the value of the wife and she's mine. What do you mean pay for the value of the wife? You can't pay for the value of the wife. The wife is either priceless or very good. Either one or the other, but it's not shocking. It doesn't make any sense. The Taz says, the Taz assumes that's a double portion, that's the muskel rishon. We all know that when a man is mekadesh and isha b'kesef, it doesn't mean he's paying up for her value, and he bought her, from her father or from herself, he bought her, and she belongs to him. He says, no, that's clear. And in Kaddish and Isha B'Kesef, it's a formality. You give her a ring, you say, Harei Mekudesh, it's not that you're paying. So from this we derive what the nature of Kinyan Karka is. Not like the Apikurus would say. Everybody knows what Kinyan Karka is, you're paying up for the Karka. And that's what, that was the rabbi's understanding of marriage, that the husband pays up for the wife and he owns his wife like a shtik Karka. The Tan says, that's such a double posture that by Kiddush Kesef. He's not paying for the wife. Ad Kidei Kach, that this sheds light on what it means, Kinyan Karka. If the Karka is worth $1 million, and the din is, you pay a penny, and you owe still $1 million. It's a formality, it's a legal formality that you can't have the Karka be tested, even though you have not paid up the full value of the Karka. That's what the Taz argues. And the Steve is, and his commentary on the Chumash Mishpat says, the Taz has to be right. Because the Gemara says clearly that it's a formality. The Gemara says, if you have a Karka that sells for, it's worth $1 million, I can be kind of the Karka be kested, even if I give you the kested, I'm a ton almanos lahakri. So he says, let's say, in the Moshe, Yeshiva University owed the bank $18 million. So Dr. Lane will give them a check and matonim on us lahakri. The Gemara says, matonim on us lahakri, shema matonim. So the Nesiva says, but the bank will obviously, $40 million. So it's obvious that the bank will not accept the matonim on us lahakri for piro and achaz. If you owe money, you have to pay a matonim gemura and not on us lahakri. So how can it say in the Gemara that you can be koine karka the kesef a matonim on us lahakri? Fine, matonim on us lahakri, shema matonim. But it's not good for Piro and Achot. They can't say you're paying off the shavis of the Karka. So the famous in the Gemara that Kinyan Karka the Kesef is just a formality. It's a formal Maisa Kinyan that accomplishes that the Karka is yours. Paying for the Karka, that's Achutza Maisa. You have to pay how much the Shivoya Karka is worth. So it's obvious that that's not the Pshat. Pshat is not like that because Mavi Taina. But just like the Jew buys the real estate, so too the Jew buys his wife. The Pshat is like the Rabbi Nehirsh said, that the Chacham wanted us to know that just as Avraham Avinu loved his wife so much, that even Lacha Moisa, he was willing to spend so much money to bury her in a Mokum Mechubad Meyoid, that we too should love our wives, Bichayehem. Forget about the Mitzvah and Bichayehem, like Avraham Avinu loved his wife. Beginning of Parshat Chayisor, the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu was crying. This was the Torah of the Elish Christ. We have other psukim like that. When Sadiqim died, the psukim say that they cried very much. The Gemara has a Shabbos. The Gemara has a Shabbos. Kol HaBoichu Mitzabal, Alodom Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tekst to Zimoyed, the Tzerf of Menichon, the Beis Minozla, the Kutz Minozla. You see clearly, it's a Mitzvah, Livkos, Mitzabal, Alodom Kosher. It's a Mitzvah. Now, on the other hand, you find the Gemara has in Moed Kotin, in the end of Moed Kotin, I'm not sure, I haven't answered this, but I don't know if it's about Kovor or about Kotin. The end of Masech is Moed Kotin on Nomad Beis, toward the end of the Masechta. So the Gemara quotes the passage in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Novi is talking about the Chuzim Bayis Rishis. So he says that they're going to kill one of the Malachim. I forgot already the history there. They're going to kill one of the Malachim. And then the other son, then the son of the king, they're going to take him to captivity in Golda's Bavel. So you would think that Nebuchadnezzar is the king who was killed, such a terrible tragedy. The one who wasn't killed was taken into captivity. Al-Bitzar is recently going to survive. But another Yirmiyah says just the reverse. Al-Tikful Ameis Al-Tanudulo. He shouldn't cry for the king who was killed. Chubachal Ahoylev. He should cry for the one who is going to remain alive and go into God as well. Kilo Yoshevod Beros Eretz Maladato. He will never return back to Eretz Yisrael. So he won't return. So what is no? But in the portion on the passing in Yirmiyah, Perek Kaddesh explained based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, the first Perek, that Shivya, being in prison, in captivity, is worse than everything. It's worse than Cherub, and worse than Rav, and worse than everything all put together. The Shivya Kulu is Nehri Beidin Mazi. And all the Torah together. It depends where. If he's in captivity by an enemy, like in Golda's Bava, that's worse. So that's what the Navi says. Al Tit Kulamei Falta Ludlo. Don't feel sad about the miracle of killed. But Yad HaFakir, he should be happy. He's lucky that he was killed. He didn't have to suffer. Chubach al HaHaylech, it's a Dikta Rahman, it's on the one. What's his name? Sholem and Yoshiyah HaMelech, and he's going to have to go into Golos. He's going to have to shiv, that's worse than everything. That's the truth of Shomik. So the Gemara had a Taich, a Drosha, another level of interpretation on the whole puzzle. Al Pitzkul HaMeis, he ultimately died. He goes in general on any mace. He never allowed to cry. Whenever a relative dies, he's not allowed to cry too much. Val Talmud Lo Yoshim Kishir. What's the Shir? Okay, so what's the Shir? Gimo Yomim Lebechi. Only allowed to cry 3 days. More than 3 days is not easy. What does it mean, cry 3 days? So the Gemara, the end of Shabbos, the Gemara tells And if a person cries, it's bad for his health. Today they say, fakir, but that's what the Gemara says. If a person cries and someone dies, bad for health. So the Gemara tells there was one Amora who lost his son. And when he heard that memory, it's bad for health. So he didn't cry at all. Didn't cry the first 3 days either. So the Sarsanis, he didn't want to get sick. So the Sarsanis makes Akasha. But the Gemara has a zin. If you want to die, you have to cry. He says, no, that's a heter. You're allowed to cry the first 3 days. More than the first 3 days, you're not allowed to cry. And if you don't need a heter, you don't have to use the heter. It's a very good. What do you mean it's a heter? It's an Easter. What's the Easter if you need a heter? They see from the Gemara. That's what it's about. They see from the Gemara. That's benefit of Pashup Shah. Our typical amate, you're to be God. Only to shear more than that, not why. So the Gemara says, I'm not going to go. You can't be able to cry more than the first 3 days. And the Gemara Shalom says, Ain't I ten a rachmanim alav yoysini men? What, you have more rachmanis than I do? I have more rachmanis than you. If I made the person die, there must be a good reason. So the Mephoshim on the Anyan can explain like this. It says when a Meragim came back from Eretz Yisrael, the Vayit Kohom Balayla, who everybody was crying, how are we going to go to Eretz Yisrael? It's terrible. So the Rebbeinu Shalom got angry and punished Bnei Yisrael, and he said, Atem Chisim, B'chir Shem Chinam. The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to be Kareh, Tisha Babu, the B'chir Lezor. So they point out, you see from that Gemara, the way the Gemara Taitch is, what does it mean B'chir? When a person he's so overwhelmed with a terrible situation that he's in that he can't control himself and he bursts out crying. That in effect, what he's doing is complaining against the Rebbeinu Shalom, the way the Rebbeinu Shalom runs his world. I feel that the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't do a good job in running the world. How can he let such a thing happen that it's such a tragedy? How could they cast it? The person bursts out crying. Well, now there's a war going on in Beirut and a war going on in wherever, in Europe. All over the world there are wars. So I'm not crying, it doesn't affect me. Rahman al-Aflam, when something affects me in such a way that it shakes me up, I start to cry. Why? Because they have tiny feelings of emotion. How could he do such a thing to me? It's not fair. So the Gemara says, you have no right to have any tiny feelings of emotion. Fear means you complain. The Rahman isn't running the world properly. He doesn't judge people right. So the Gemara says, the first 3 days when a person is sitting, she's in, he can't control it. Why, isn't it? He can't control his emotions. It's an honor. If he can control his emotions, he has no hatred to cry the first 3 days either. But if he can't control himself, he has a heter of on it. After the first 2 days, oh, he's heter of on it, you're not allowed to cry. So the Gemara Taichin says that that's pshat in the pasuk in Yirmi. It's not pshat. Shuta shal mikra is in Gansan different. Our typical amate is don't cry about the melech who was killed. Rather cry, b'chu b'achala, have a cry about the one who's being taken into captivity because shivya is worse than everything. But the Gemara says, al derech hadrash, another level of interpretation. Our typical amate, there's an easy to cry when a person dies. You're not allowed to cry about the human aspect about the death. Never he left the young Namon, never he left the young children, never was there to speak about mitzvah, to see them get married, to see 8 o'clock, never met. That you're not allowed to cry about. And in effect, what you're doing is complaining that the Rebbeinu Shalom isn't running the world with mishpah. The Rebbeinu Shalom did an avla. You're not allowed to do that. What does it say? B'chub b'chal ha'ilech. What does that mean? When the Adam Kosher dies, so tzaddik, the Gemara says, tzaddik in mitzvah mikurim chayim. So it's not that now he was alive and then he died, now he's dead. No, he's a ha'ilech. Now he's chay b'olam hazeh, and then tzaddik after they die, he's kurim chayim, he's chayim b'olam habo. Now he's an olam ha'sheker, then he goes to the olam ha'emek. So he's a ha'ilech, he's going from one world to the other, but he's not a mate. So the Mepharshim say, that's how the Gemara understood. B'chub b'chal ha'ilech, he should cry. When an Adam Kosher dies, that's a mitzvah to cry. Why? The pasuk continues, he will never be back on this earth to do his mitzvah to my companion. What you should cry about is the chisaron kod shamayim. That's a tragedy to cry. The human tragedy, there's an issue to cry about. Because when you cry, you're complaining against the way that the Rebbeinu Shalom runs the world. That's clear. The Rebbeinu Shalom knows what he's doing. He has said, Rahman, and there are many. What, you have more rachman? You know how you would run the world better than me. So the Baruch Hashem says, I run the world properly with Rachman, and this is why I had to kill a person. And that was the chesed, that was the Rachman. Don't think that you're a bigger Rachman. You have to cry when another kosher dies, because we will be missing so many mitzvahs in my Shetayim, so much Lima Torah, so much Tzokah V'chesed, whatever. And that we have to try to replace. That's what there is to cry about. So that's what the Mepharshim say, that by Avram Shteyt, the Lid Koyson, by the Tzadikim, the mitzvah to cry, that's B'chu B'chal HaHelech, to cry about the Kvot Shamayim that's missing. But one is not permitted to cry about the human tragedy.
So,
right, that's what the Gemara says. The first 2 million, you have a...
Crying is a natural thing.
mean, a person can control it.
Right,
the Gemara says that. The Gemara says that, right. But the Gemara says that you have a heter of onus the first 3 days. He could control himself. So he had no heter. He wasn't an onus. He felt that he could control himself in Christ. Because like Chiru Fegidu. Because when a person cries, it's like it's implicit that he's complaining the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo is running his world. But he's an onus, he can't control himself. Oh, it's not natural. It's natural in the sense that he can't. The Gemara is mashma, right? The Gemara is mashma, a different voice, but it is natural. Short comment on the pasuk says at the end of Chayi Torah that Avraham Avinu was Mavi Nachla from all of his children. He had a lot of children. He was Mavi Nachla from all of the others. Bnei Pilakshim, he gave them Bokti. Nothing Avraham Atonis by Yishalchem. And he sent them away. Chased them out of Eretz Yisrael. And Yitzchak, he gave everything. Eitan Avraham is Kol Asher Lo to Yitzchak. Gave everything over to Yitzchak. Why was he Mavi Nachla from the others? They were his own children. Yitzchak was from and they were not from. That's the Pashuk Pshat and the Pashuk. So the Rishonim ask Akashra, the Bali Ateses HaChumash, and other Rishonim ask Akashra, this is against the Halacha. The Gemara says in Bala Bashra, the whole Sugi in Bala Bashra, and it's Timon HaChosh Mishpot, things are HP base, and the end of HaChosh Mishpot. You're not permitted to the Nav Nachal, even if Bro Bishra, the Bro Talva, even from a son who's not observed, not religious, to the son who is religious. It's awesome. The Gemara says it's not allowed. Like, I'm Kavichet. A Mishnah is more than it's not allowed. The Sma has a cooler that perhaps one is permitted to be Mavanachle if the son is a Bro Bisha to the father. The son never calls up the father, never wishes him a good Shabbos, good Niyantas, never visits him when he's sick, he has no Shaitas with the father. Then the Sma quotes, according to some Rishonim, would be mutter to cut him out from the Yerusha. It would be mutter if you do it properly. You have to know how to do it, that it should be able to help not be there. But if the son is decent to his father, just that he's not from, he's a Bro Bisha, Klapi Shmai, or Klapi Beniyadim, but he treats the father as decently as any other son or else. Then the Gemara says, you're not permitted to be Mavanach. So how did Avraham Avinu have a heter to be Mavanach? So the Rishonim give various theories. So in Chayshu Mishpat, on that simon, in Reish Pei Beis, on the bottom of the big Chayshu Mishpat, the Lindberg of Chayshu Mishpat, they had the Haoris from the Kesef HaKadosh, from the Buchot Shero. He has a fascinating theory. She says, where do we derive this mitzvah from being Mavanach? From the Pasuk in Chumash. And it says, Kisiyena li yishtei noshim, Glachat, Ahuva, and so on. And he says, Ruyuchul Levakir. So the Gemara understands Ruyuchul Levakir, not permitted to take away the Kishnayim from the Kor. And also included in the Tanch and the Pasuk is Ruyuchul Levakir, you're not permitted to be Mavanachla. It's another Pshat. Ruyuchul Levakir shouldn't be Mavanachla. So the Pshat of Tain is that it only applies Kisayanim Ishtay Noshim, if all the children are from his Noshim, from his wife. But if one is from his wife and one is from his Pilegish, or it wasn't even a Pilegish, son had children, no Pilegish. So then there's no reason to be Mavanachla. He says, well, this is Farempe, this famous kasha that all the Shayim are working on. How could Avram be Mavanach? He says, the Pasuk gives the answer, but they have Pilakshin, not an Avram Avram. Their mother was not an Isha, their mother was a Pilagish. Therefore, there's no issue to be Mavanach. It's a very big chidush. It's a very big chidush. He did away with a real din, which he himself implied was a din deraisa, that the Gemara darshan it out. Lechatchila, din lechatchila, learn out from the Pasuk, lo yuchal avakar, there's an issue to be Mavanach. He does away with it in the right, the based on some Ashmois, because he only stay Noshin, and here it says Pilakshin, but that's the terrorist. The Pashtus and the Kashin is the way the Rishonim said. The Rishonim give a different terrorist, a better terrorist. They say that with Manazeh, we have a din, that if a Jewish man marries a Jewish woman, so the children are all Jewish. That din began from the days of Yankov Avinu Wad. That's what the Gemara called Yankov was Mitosa Shleim. All of his children were Jewish. But before the days of Yankov Avinu, they didn't have that halacha. There was no such thing. Avraham Avinu had children. Some of them were Yid, some of them were Goyim. Yitzchak had twin children. Not some. Yitzchak had twins. Yankov and Esau. Yankov is a Yid and Esau is not Goyim. Kibi Yitzchak, the Rebbeinu Shlomo told them, Kibi Yitzchak, the Korvach HaZera, only Yitzchak will be a Yid and the Yishmael will be a Goyim. The other two were not the Yidin. And Yankov and Esau also, be Yitzchak, but I call Yitzchak. Not all of the descendants of Yitzchak will be eaten, only Yankin, and not the others. From Yankin on is Mitzvah Shlem. So the Mishnah says in Yevamis that Mishi Yesh Labein Mikol Makom, if a person has a child, whether the Easter or the Heter, whether from marriage or not marriage or Mamza, as long as it's his child, so the din is that the child yarshes him. But what if he has a child from a child who's a goy? I mean, it's Baal a goy, and he has a child who's a goy. Then the Mishnah says, Chus ben benom min ashivchum min akusis, she'en a benom, it's not misyachas achron. If the father's a yid and the child is a goy, so there's no yichas, so the child doesn't get any yush. So here, kaidim akum tera, the goy says, she'en chitin, so lacham akum tera, lacha, after the days of Yanker Abinu, it was only gimol, such a thing was only possible that a Jewish father has a goyish child, if he loses the shiksa, so the children are goy. But kaidim akum tera was gan shay, before the days of Yanker, it was gan shay. The Rebbeinu Shalom called Avraham Avinu, the only child that would be a yid. He was gimol, but he was a goy. No, my father was a goy. And Esav is also a goy. Esav is also a goy. So that's what the Rishonim said. There was, yeah. But the Rishonim say over here that there was no reason to be Mavin Nachla, no Fakir. The others don't get the Yerush in the first place. I'll be in their goy, so they're not Mitzachas after Avram at all. But they don't get any Yerush. Fakir gave them Matonis, he was giving him something Yeshmeyam that they didn't deserve in the first place. But there's not, Fakir is taken away from Yitzchak when he gave them the Matonis. He was paying them off that they should leave, they shouldn't bother you. But the Shaila, why would he Mavin Nachla from them? There's no Shaila in the first place. They had no rights to the Yerusha at all. They weren't Mitzachas after them. Not be Pashtun. In this week's Haftarah, the Haftarah Parshas Chayisorah, the Pasuk says that David HaMelech was an old sick man. He was sick, he was sick. So the doctors recommended Yivakshul HaMelech, Naru Besuna, the Yomdul HaMelech, the Shofar, the Chekech, the Chamla, Adani HaMelech. He has to get himself a young wife. So the Gemara says there was a problem that he had 18 wives already. And the Halacha says, the Torah says in Chumash, Le'yavul HaNoshim, that the king is not permitted to marry too many wives. Let's say too many. More than 18. The Gemara learns that from a person. More than 18 is forbidden. Because David HaMelech had 6 wives, and the Navi told him, the Osafti Lachot Kohen of Achayim, he can have another 6 and another 6, adding up to some total of 18. More than 18 is forbidden. So he already had his maximum of 18, and he needed another young wife who's going to keep him warm, and the Shaila was, what is he going to do? So he had an option. Huh? The Pasuk says that he violated the din. The Gemara discusses, Shlomo HaMelech violated this din, because the Pasuk says, Le'yad L'Anoshim, the Torah gives the reason for this love. The Shlomo HaMelech thought, I'm such a chacham mikol adam, I'll do the din and I won't violate. It won't cause me to sin. So he violated the din, and he did violate it. He says, hey, serious libel. Because why did cause him? Because the Torah writes the reason. The Gemara says this one place where the Torah writes the reason for the Easter. So Shlomo HaMelech, who was a chacham mikol adam, violated the din, thinking that the reason doesn't apply to him. And then the reason did apply. He fell in. His wife caused him to sin. So the Gemara says that's by the Torah. In most other places, doesn't give the reason for any of it. Because every wise guy will think, I'm so smart, that reason doesn't apply to me, so the whole din doesn't apply to me. And that's why the Torah usually doesn't give the reason for the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara points on. Oh, there was a pikuach nefesh. He was a chayla. Right, so the Shaila is, he had a few options over here. He had a few options. One option was to marry himself a 19th wife, and pikuach nefesh is there for the Yisrael. He has another option, he can divorce one of his 18 wives and marry this one, so long he has 18. He had a third option, he can have this young girl and not marry her. If he takes her as a pilegis, the Rambam claims that he still violates the Yisrael of Liyabal HaNashim. The Rambam claims that the 18 wives include Pilakshim and wives. Machleg is the Rambam and the Raizah. The Raizah says no, it only applies to wives. And the Rambam says it includes both Nashim and Pilakshim. So the Gemara says he had these three alternatives. Either he'll violate the law of Liyabal HaNashim, he'll marry this Abishak HaShunamim, Pikuach Nefesh, or he'll divorce one of the 18 wives and marry this one, or he'll have this single girl. The Pasuk says that he didn't live with her. He had no marital relations with her. So she just kept him warm. So and she went to the mikvah, of course. So what issa did he violate? He violated yichud, which is an issa de rabbana, which he himself instituted, yichud with a single girl, yichud tenuya. So the Gemara says of the three alternatives, he chose to violate yichud. Why? Because whenever a person is a chayla sheyesh b'sakona, and in order to save his life, we have to do something. We have a few alternatives. And the Mishnah says in Yuma, you have to take You try to violate the letter of the Surah. So if you have an alternative, either to be Michal Shabbos, yourself, or to ask a Goy to be Michal Shabbos. To ask a Goy is only Nisa de Rabbanon. That I should drive the car myself is a Nisa de Raisa. So you try to minimize the Nisa. So you try to do the lesser of the evil, so the least possible of it. So the Gemara says to marry a 19th wife is a Nisa Shalter. And to divorce his wife is also an Issa Derayta. If his 18 wives are not agreeable to get divorced, and he's going to divorce them anyway against their wishes, and he has no good grounds for divorce, he has good grounds for divorce, he's sick, he needs a young girl to help him, but his wife is a good wife, she didn't bother him. He divorced his wife, she's a nice, decent wife, all of his 18 wives that he had married so many years before. So he had no grounds for divorce against them, so the Gemara said that's an Issa Derayta to divorce the wife. So rather than violate Yisr A or Yisr B, the Yisr of divorcing his wife who was a good wife to him, and the Yisr of marrying a 19th wife, so he chose to violate the Yisr de Rabbanon of Yichud Hatmuyah. So from the Gemara it would appear clearly that the Yisr divorced your wife Bal Korchov, she's a good wife, and she doesn't agree to get divorced, that it's an Yisr de Raisa. So why does it say in the Shulchan Aruch that it's a Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon? Because the Rabbeinu Gershon made the Chayim. Why is it called the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon if it's an Yisr de Raisa? So the answer is very simple. The Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon didn't initiate the Avera. The Avera was an Issa Deraisa. But it was an Avera that people would violate. They wouldn't. There are a lot of Averas that people violate, and they don't worry about the fact that it's an Avera. But if the Chachamim come and they say, whoever violates this Avera is in Chayim, that already frightens people off. A Chayim, the Gemara says, is not the Balatun. The Gemara says, Chayim is Oifis Ramach. The Chayim is Nichnas into the Ramach Ivorim, that it's a curse that the person should drop dead. So if it's Tama Nisa to divorce my wife Al Korcha when she hasn't ba'aveled me, she's a good wife, that's an Issa Deraisa, so people will violate it. If it's necessary, so they'll divorce their wife. They'll violate the Issa Deraisa. But if Rabbeinu Gershon makes the Chena give the curse, that makes it into more of an Issa Chama, so this will deter people from violating the Avir. Similarly, you have in Eben Ezra, they quote in Shulchan Aruch, that they institute a Chayrim in the Middle Ages, that the husbands are not allowed to beat up their wives. You mean before the Middle Ages it was mutter? Is an Issa de Rabbanon that the institute on the Middle Ages? The answer is obviously no. If you're not allowed to beat up someone else, if the wife is not allowed to beat up, it's a bigger Issa to beat up your own wife. It's an Issa. It has to be Oyvis Issa Kaguf and Machab the Yais and the Gufay. In addition to the Issa Lo Yais of 10 years, if you're not allowed to beat anybody up, it's a double and a triple Issa to beat up your wife. You violate Oyvis Issa Kaguf, Machab the Yais and the Gufay. So what do they have to institute a Cherem for? So the answer is, Abana, there were three Yisurim Deraisa. Nin Kadnos and all, and Issa Deraisa. But they saw that unfortunately Jewish people were violating, Goyim and Jews were violating this thing. So the Chachamim in the Middle Ages made a Cherem that to scare them out of their wits, that they shouldn't violate. Same thing, there's a Cherem not to eat somebody else's mail. Also, Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. You mean until the Rabbeinu Gershon was mutter to eat someone else's mail? No, that's also an Issa Deraisa. In more comments, we said many times on the Pasuk, Adar Hashem Moshe Lamar. It is not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Rishus to tell all of the citizens of Israel, it would have been a secret. All of Dina would have been a secret. He would have been forbidden to divulge the secret. That's how the Gemara translates Lamer. Adab Hashem HaMoshe, Lamer LeYisrael. He can't, and this passage would be right, that if one person tells someone else some information, and he doesn't give him Rishus to tell it to others, that it's assumed that he's not allowed to tell it. Whatever I tell you is assumed to be a secret unless I clearly indicate otherwise. So what did the Rabbeinu Gershon have to introduce a chayim for? Not to beat someone else's nails. Avada, invasion of privacy is an Issa in the Torah. So the answer is Issa Haint Issa Morgan, but the people were violating the Issa. The Rabbeinu Gershon instituted a chayim. Doesn't mean he instituted the Issa. He put peace into the Issa. He made it that whoever violates that Issa should be muhram, should a klola, that he should die. That the Issa. On the two wives. On the two wives, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Issa against being noisy, Yisha Lishto, that he made a time limit, because that was never Issa before. There never was an Issa against marrying two wives. That was always Mutter. Just the Gemara says if you can support both wives and you can spend enough time with each wife. The Gemara says if you can't support two wives, or even if you can't support, but he won't be able to spend enough time with each wife, then he's not allowed to marry two. Because the Torah requires that every husband has to treat each wife that he has decently and spend a lot of time with each wife. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch says that the Rabbeinu Gershon made the Issa based on sociological considerations. Now, he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, he didn't know what's going to happen in the future. So he only made the Easter until the Seifo Elef, till the end of the thousands. So the Cherem ended in the year 5700. The Cherem ended in the year 5000, which was 744 years ago. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Cherem ended 744 years ago. And the Rishonim say that we still continue, even though the Cherem of the Rabbeinu Gershom ended already, so there's no longer a Cherem today, but we still preserve the Yisur of the Rabbeinu Gershom. We don't make the Yisur on ourselves without a Cherem. Vov anon a Cherem, not to marry two wives. But the other Charamim of the Rabbeinu Gershom are not with a time limit. Those have no limit. Only the Yisur of the Rishonim shall be. Not necessarily. Why do you want in fact, in Chai Yisora, the Ramban has a comment that Rav Shevel, the son of Rochen, and Teoris points out the Achrayim, the Klichem, and other Achrayim discuss that the Pasuk says that Avram asked Anshe Chevron, Yesh es nafshechem midvoret meisi milfonai. What does he say, the Loshen milfonai? Midvoret meisi? He gives different biurim. So he gives one shot that it means like this. Either give me a rishus to bury the mess here, or if you don't give me a rishus, I don't want to go bury in any other Beis HaKadosh. This is it. Either I'll bury here or I won't bury any other. What am I going to do with the mess then? I'll put the mess in an order and leave it like that and walk away. But that's the mashmos of the word milfonai. If you don't give me a rishus to bury here, egberen ba'aran, and I'll leave it there. So Achrayim ask a kasha, this is keneged adin. If we assume Avraham Avinu came to the Kul of the Gemara, so it's actually Nitzno, and he was burying his wife because there's a din, you have to bury the Mason. The Ramban himself writes in the Sefer Torah Sodom, that's the Klichem de Kul, because in the Klichem de Kul, it's like kasha. That the Ramban writes in Torah Sodom that Kul has to be dafki the karka, and if you leave the Mason in Oran, you're not yet to the Mitzvah Kul. So Akhna Ramban say over here that Avraham Avinu was saying that he's going to leave the Mason in Oran. Keneged adin. I thought perhaps one could distinguish between different dilemmas. That we have a minig, I can't say we have a minig based on a medic. So it says, by Kabe Ha'adam, B'Sarech Aseh Hagon. It says in Tarshish Rezim. So Adam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking to get him after he sinned with the Reis HaDas, he was hiding B'Sarech Aseh Hagon. So the medic says, I'm not Tosek, that Mikan the Remez, that when a person dies, you bury him in a wooden casket. L'Kabe Ha'adam, B'Sarech Aseh Hagon. To hide the man in Aseh Hagon. That's a medic on that Tosek. On the Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted at all. Even Achrayim on the Daf don't quote it. The Sefer Chaim of Rachel, the Mishnah and Shalom, and Hilchas Aveilus, he quotes this Medrash in the Minig that you bury in a wooden casket. But in Yeridaya, they don't quote the Minig, they quote the Gemara. You can bury either in a metal casket or in a wooden casket. Fakeret, in the Yerushalmi, in the end of Perik Elam of Galchen, Yerushalmi has the following din. There's a din of Likot Atzomah from Yeridaya. That if somebody was buried, so the relatives observed Aveilus to Shaitan. And then they want to bury, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, they want to bury a kever ovis, but they want to transfer the body. So if so the Rishalmi makes the following decision, so there's a din that on the day on which they make Likud HaTzomer, so there's a din of Avelus, there's a din of Avelus on that day. You're not mechuyev to notify the Kerovim that you're doing a Likud Avelus. Don't tell them you won't have to prav Avelus. But if the person knows that his relatives HaTzomers are being reburied, so he has to observe Avelus that day. So that's what it says in the Gemara. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So then the Rishalmi says, "And what if it's not Hatzomus, Likot Hatzomus? They bury the body just like this. What if he's in an Aron and they're transporting the Aron?" So the Rishalmi distinguishes between whether it's an Aron Shalait or an Aron Shal Matechas. If it's an Aron Shalait, so then there is a din of Avelus because you've unearthed the body and you're going to rebury it. If it's an Aron Shal Matechas, so it's considered as if it's still buried. Why? Because Eitz is not Karka. Eitz grows in the ground. Eitz is Gedulah Karka. But Matechas is a stikarka. Like the Osamech talks about Al Tidin, strictly speaking, he says, can you bury a person in concrete on top of the ground? And so I take a body, and I put the body in an oran on top of the ground, and I pour concrete on top. So he says, the Osamech writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis, he says, it's mamish karka. Concrete is mamish karka, mikar adin. Maybe against the minik, the divination, maybe against the minik to do it. But strictly speaking, he writes that it's called pour the karka. So here also, this Yerushalmi has like that. But the same applies to metal, that if the person was buried in the ground in an Aron Shal Matechas, and then you take out this Aron Shal Matechas and you move it somewhere else, and then you'll be buried there. The Kreizim don't have a din of Avelus, so because that summer, so it's considered as if the person is still inside the car. And the Rambam has such a distinction also. The Rambam in Hilchas Tumas Meis writes that there is, the Gemara has a din of Goel the Doisik, that not only is the Meis Matame, the Magamasa Boihel, the Oren is also Matame. The Goel the Doisik means the Oren, the sides of the Oren, the lid of the Oren is also Matame. So the Raizit in Perikid Beis in Tumas Meis, Allah Havav, the Raizit points out that the Rambam was bothered with the Gemara. The famous Gemara in Brachis, you take on base. The Gemara says, "Medalgam ha'yin al-gabi ayrenim." That they were kohanim. They were kohanim, and they were jumping on top of the ayrenim shalom mason in order to be mekabel tnei malchay yomatoyim. Because of kavod abri, it's one of the many to violate an avera the rabbanim, not tumas mason the rabbanim. The Gemara says, "How is the tumas mason the rabbanim?" The Gemara says, "Because rov ayrenim have a pesach tefa, so the tumas of the mason doesn't go up, and since there's a miut ayrenim that don't have a tefach in between the top of the mason and the lid." So the Chachamim regards the Tuman. Only our Rebbe since it's only Tuman the Rabbanon, so we sometimes make a line in Tuman the Rabbanon. So the Rishonim takes this, and the Rishonim ask a kasha and like one. The Rabbi asks a kasha. All the Rishonim ask, forget about the maze, but the girl of the Desik itself, the Yaron itself is Matamer. So isn't the claim Muzah not to be Matamer to the girl of the Desik? So he said, the Rabbi says, the Rambam apparently was bothered with this kasha, and he comes up with a chilek between an Oren Shal Eid and an Oren Shal Matecha. The Rambam writes, if it's a metal aron, then it has a din of Goel V'Doisik. Because the halacha of Goel V'Doisik is that that's called kever, the tumas kever. Not only the mace matami, the kever mace is also matami. If the aron is made of matecha, that's called kever. Why? Because that's called karka. But if it's an aron shalei, but that's not called karka, ace is gibuli karka, so then the Rambam holds that it doesn't have a din of kever, because the kever has to be karka.
Couldn't it be different to the neither? Even karka means one place, but if you take the even the Telmatech, but if you move it, it becomes a different stage.
Yeah, it's moving. So it could be that this is the answer to the Ramban, like you suggested. Maybe the two Rambans. Top of the character, so there's no food of the character, so you're not racing the mixer. But if it's an Arshal Matechas, maybe one could say that you would be racing the food in it. The only shadow would be, how deep into the character do you have to bury the maize to be considered food of the character? Let's say I leave the maize on top of the gas, and I sprinkle a little offer on top of the maize. So that's enough to be called food of the character.
Well, if the old maize already
now, but how thick is the metal? How thick does the metal have to be that it should be called pour of the karka? Well, let's say your Tanakh says if you pour concrete on top, so it's called pour of the karka. How thick does the concrete have to be called pour of the karka? Let's say Allah Almighty, I bury a mess in the ground and I just throw one inch deep. How deep? So we dig very deep. 6 feet on there. What if you don't dig? What if you dig 5 feet? And some also good. What is the minimum shear that has to be? Some of there is some minimum shear. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He claims based on the Gemara Bava Basra, it has to be at least 3 tefachim. Because the Gemara says when you have two mace and buried one on top of the other, you have to have 6 tefachim in between. So he claims that it means that each, the 3 tefachim below this belong to that mace and 3 tefachim above belong to this. You see that the shear for the karka system.
How did
it come
from the
mace?
How did it
from the level of the ground?
Yeah, you have to have 3 tefachim offer on top of the mace. Let's say I can put a mace on top of the ground and put offer 3 tefachim on top of it, and also be good. So that's a tiny. If you say that the Ramban means that the Ramban is referring to a orange from my shekha, then it have to be a very thick orange.
I just close with a short comment on the Sedra. What is the connection between the Parsha Sashavua and the Haftarah? There are several connections. So Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that one of the several connections between the Sedra and the Haftarah is that in both cases you have a situation of a Yerusha which isn't going over normally. Normally when you have a Yerusha, let's say the man dies and he leaves the money, And then the children divided. Even, I take half, you take half. So the 10 children, each one takes one tenth. Here in the Chumash you have, there's a pro, so the pro gets Bishma. Here in the Chumash you have, Avraham Avinu had a Kedushas Yisrael. He dies. Kedushas Yisrael doesn't go to all of his children. He's the Yitzchak, he called the Chazera. He gives the love only to Yitzchak. He gives the brachas to Yitzchak. And the others state, does now Pilakshim Nasan Avraham Matanos? Vayishachem? Goodbye. Niyah Yitzchak Benay. He says, the Kedushas Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and all Yerusha is all going to Yitzchak, the others not. And the same you find in the Haftarah, a strange thing, that when David HaMelech is about to die, so let him die, and then we'll decide who's going to be the Melech. No. But Sheva comes to she says, Eini Ko Yisrael Alecha, you have to decide who's going to be the Melech. And whomever David HaMelech chooses, that's going to be the one who's going to be the Melech. It's not going to be decided after he dies, the poor, or the smartest, or the richest, or the best looking, or whatever, the tallest, or the shortest, or the fattest. No. Whomever the Melech chooses, he's the one who gets the Yerusha to the exclusion of all others. So perhaps the Rav Soloveitchik suggests that this is one of the connections between the Sedra and the Haftarah, that in each case the Chumash and the Navi are giving us instances of a strange din of Yerusha, that it's up to the Morish to determine who should get the Yerusha. The Kedusha Yisrael was determined by Avraham Avinu, he picked out Yitzchok, the Banisham told him to pick out one. And then in the Haftarah also, it was up to David HaMelech to determine who's going to get the Yerusha of the Navi.
Thank you very much. It's all your fault.
Okay, maybe we'll stop here. We didn't get to the juicy part. It's coming up later. The part that's Nagel Laloche, that's later. And today's Sedra, the Chumash says the way Avraham Avinu was Mashbiya Eliezer, his Eved, that he has to go get a Shira for Yitzchak from his family, Maram Maran. So the pasuk says, "Simna yot chatachas yirechi." He wanted him to be nishba b'nikitas chayfus. That the only mitzvah, the first mitzvah that he had was milah, so he wanted him to hold on to the milah. The Gemara says that nikitas chayfus has to be with the sefer Torah, only with the sefer Torah. The Gemara says if you tell the person that he should swear a shvua to nikitas chayfus, give him a pair of tefillin or mezuzah, so it's only good if he's a talmud chacham. But by balabas, the Gemara says that it's not a good nikitas chayfus. So the Torah Tumim explains over here that the pasuk says, "Vayim Avram al Avdu zekan beiso hamoishel b'chol asheloi." What's the title? Hamoishel b'chol asheloi. He was supervising everything that belonged to Avram Avinu. So why does it have that word over here, hamoishel b'chol asheloi? So the Gemara in Yuma says no. Zekan beiso means that shekan achachma. Hamoishel b'chol asheloi means he picked up all of the Torah of Avram Avinu. Not only was he a talmud chacham, he picked up part. He was moishel in all of Avram Avinu's Torah. So then it says, "No, it's not. Grace of Talmachok." So he said, "Simna Yotchot Tachti Reichi." That I can be Mashbir you with another Nikitas Chayvus. It doesn't have to be Dafti Sefer Torah. It can be the Gemara says a Talmachok may swear with tefillin. So the Talmachok who knows the Chaymer of Shvua Shav and he knows the Kedusha of tefillin, so that's good enough for a Talmachok. For Balabas, the Gemara says not. You have to use Dafkas and Nikitas Chayvus to swear holding a Sefer Torah. So that's what the Torah Tumim explains over here. That's how the Gemara and Yuma explains. The Kan Beis means Zakin Zashikana Chachma. And Moshe B'chol HaShalom means who is Moshe and all of our Avraham Avinu's prayer. So that's why he said Tim Nayot Chatachas Yirech. But the Rishonim ask a kasha, what do you mean a Shvua B'Nikitas Chayfet? This halacha that you have to be Mashbiyah B'Nikitas Chayfet is only if it's a Shvua Sadayonim. It's better than Mashbiyah Shvua Seirech or Dindin Mamlis and Dindin Torah. If he has to swear Shvua Seidechot, he has to swear Amoid in the Mikvah, he has to swear Shvua Sashoimrim, so then you tell him you have to hold on to a Sefer Torah. But if you want me to swear that I'm not going to eat potato chips, I should go on a diet, or I shouldn't eat ice cream, I shouldn't smoke cigarettes, so that's not a Shvua Sadayom, it's Glat Shvua Bitoi. So there's no need for an Akita Schepes. So how does the Gemara learn out from this Pasuk that a Shvua has to be, Shvua Sadayom has to be the Akita Schepes? Gibald, it's not talking about a Shvua Sadayom. He wants him to swear a private shvua, shvua bitur, what we call, not a shvua zadayon.
Yaakov
and
the sons,
Yeah. Probably was not. Nikitas means to hold down to a chayfet shel kedusha, an object of kedusha, that it should be more serious, the shvua should be more serious. He wanted Yosef to hold on to his bris also, but he didn't. He didn't. So the, I think the Rishonim in the Medrash says that Elias Gven HaNeves, so he wasn't a son of Avram. So it wasn't seems modern to us, but the Medrash and the Rishon say it wasn't modern. The Odom wants him to hold on to his bris milo, so it's okay. But the father says, ask his son to hold on to his bris milo. So Yosef felt that it wasn't right. So he didn't want to do it. When Yankov was Mashbiah Yosef, that he should take him back to Eretz Yisrael, to bury him there, so he wanted him to be Nishba. But he didn't do it. It's not necessary. You don't need Shua B'Nikitas Chayfet for Shua's Bikla. But did it need a Nikitas Chayfet? What's the fact? So the Netziv has this plot in his Bira Chumash. He says that what the Gemara means to learn up in the Pasuk is that if you have a Shua B'Nikitas Chayfet, it's a Chal Hashem Shua Yosef Hamura. That's all you see from the post. In fact, the Ran in the Dorim quotes from the Shita Tagoinim. He says we don't pass like that. But he quotes the Shita Tagoinim. And Shita Tagoinim, they have like this a lot. That one who swears a Shvur, Benekitas Chayfetz, Eilo HaTorah, Beinlo HaForah. That the Dinim in the Chumash, that you have HaTorah and Dorim, and you have HaForah and Dorim, is only by a plain Shvur, plain Neder. But the Shvur, Benekitas Chayfetz, are different Chal Hashem Chefts of Shvur. And the Torah doesn't speak about that. That's a fancier Shvur. Where do you see that a Shvur B'Nikitas Chayfetz is more Chomer? But this parsha, the fact that Avraham Avinu insisted he wanted Eliezer to swear B'Nikitas Chayfetz, that's just a Hechoche that such a Chal Hashem Shvur exists. It's not glad to frighten him, that it should be more serious. If he didn't consider the higher level of a Shvur. So now the Gemara says, Mitzar HaSvore, once we see from Avraham Avinu that this is a higher level of Shvur, if he didn't, so when you have a Shvuas Hadayonim that the Bezdin wants him to swear in a Din Torah, we demand of him to swear the highest level of Shvur. So you need Shvur B'Shem, he has to say Shem Hashem, even though you can take a Shvur without Shem Hashem, also on its binding. Most Rishonim hold the Shvur B'Lishem is binding him in our Torah. The Ran on the first Daf and Dan quotes all the Shittas. But if you take a Shvur B'Lishem, is it only the Rabbanim, is it in our Torah, is it in the Kabbalah, different Shittas. The many Rishonim hold the Shvur B'Lishem, there's also a Shvur Mideraista. But the Shvur B'Shem is a higher level, and that's why some Rishonim Takasei and Adorim, the Ran quotes it on Adorim. This is already in Gemara. This is that B'Shem, if you saw the whole sugya, some Tanayim and some Rishonim and Goyim say, oh, Shvur B'Shem, Ein La HaTorah Ve'Ein La HaFora. The same signal, the same Nusa. A Shvur, where you say, B'Shem Hashem, Harini Nishba B'Hashem, Harini Nishba L'Hashem, that's a different Chal Hashem Shvur, and the Dinim and the Torah don't speak about such a Shvur. So that is Mefurish against the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says at one point, that B'Shem held like that, and they still disagree. We don't pass like that. But the Shvur Minikitas Chayfetz is clearly a different Chal Hashem Shvur. And even the Shvur B'Shem is also. We hold that it does have HaTorah, it does have HaTorah, but it's a higher level of a Shvur. So that's why by Shvur Tadayonim, the Bezin demands the highest level Shvur possible. So they insist there has to be a Shvur B'Shem Hashem, and there has to be a Shvur Minikitas Chayfetz. That's what they in the end of Parshas Chayisara, the Chumash describes that after Avraham Avinu had led a whole rich life of different experiences, he was married to Hagar, and he was married to Sarah, and he had children from Hagar, from Sarah. It says in his old age he gets married again, he has more children. Such an old man. Such an old man, what does he have to marry? What is his interest in having more children? So the Medrash says, yes. The Medrash quotes the Pasuk in Kohelet, and they quote that even though a person even though he had children when he was young and he already fulfilled the mitzvah period of Yor, he should have more children. The Medrash quotes Rabbi Akiva. If also on the same Pasuk, the Rebbe shouldn't retire. I say l'chol talmidim zikn secho because ain't a yodeya. The pasuk continues. In Kabbalah, ain't a yodeya. Eizim mehem miskayim ozeh ozeh v'mshen kechatoyzim. And then the Medrash continues. The Gemara in Yevam is the end of Habo Yevim. So the whole bright list. Here's an Habo Yevim toy. That Rabbi Kiva had so many thousands of talmidim all over Eretz Yisrael. They all died between Pesach and Shavuos. Slightly different, exactly what the reason the Gemara gives and the Medrash gives. And then Biziknus, he had another seven Talmidim of Sotham and Shiva, the Mayor of Yud and so on, and they were the ones who illuminated the whole world with their Torah. So the Gemara says, so the Benish says that that's the reason why Avraham Avinu was interested in having more children in Biziknus, because of that pasuk. What?
Yes,
oh, so the
Shaila
is,
that
on Eisen Akasha,
The Rebbeinu Shalom told them only kibitzel kol chazar. What's the purpose of having children? The Mishnah says in the second parak in Yevamos that let's say a person has children from a zayna, not from his own wife, or let's say he has children from an eshes ish, from someone else's wife. So the bein is mityachas achro. The child will be a mamzer, but the bein is mityachas achro. Chutz mibnom avom min hashivcho or min hakusit. If the man has a child from a nochris or from a shivcho, then the bein is not mityachas achro. So over here, the Rebbeinu Shalom told him, "Ki be Yitzchak kol lachozera. Only Yitzchak, no other children. So none of the other children will be mityachas achro." So what is he gaining over here by having more children? What do you mean by breaking his rasa rechav la'erav hapan chedach? He's absolutely not gaining anything. The Rebbeinu Shalom already told him in advance when he had Yishmael. He wasn't told yet at that time that this is not going to be called his zera. But by the time he already had Yitzchak, and this is years later, by the time he marries Keturah, he's very told back on his brocha that any other children you're going to have are not going to be mityachas achra. So what is he gaining by having more children? So the echreyach, l'chor, you have to say that the nature of the mitzvah really changed from koyde matan Torah to l'yacha matan Torah. Koyde matan Torah, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, we learned that for last year in Sanhedrin, we learned the whole sugya of Bnei Noach. So the Gemara says, kimad black and white. Mishmar Melach points out on the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, but that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara does say, if you read when you're half asleep, you won't realize it, but the Gemara says it beferish that Koyde Matan Torah, the myth of Biruvia, was given to all the Yomus Olam, and Lacha Matan Torah stopped applying to all the Yomus Olam, and Nikana Lahabot only applies to Bnei Yisrael. It would appear that the nature of the mitzvah also changed, that Koyde Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was that you should have populate the world for the Yishuv Olam, and not only in Tzur Vu, the Chipshua. Like the Rav used to say, part of the mitzvah is to go fly to outer space and so on, and to study science and physics and chemistry and biology and everything like that. That was included in the mitzvah Koyde Matan Torah, because the nature of the mitzvah was different. And Koyde Matan Torah, the mitzvah was to populate the world. Populate the world, so it applies whether the children are going to be Mityachas Achra or not going to be Mityachas Achra. And even though the Rebbeinu Shalom told him, "Ki b'yitzchak l'kol lachozera," and any other children you're going to have will not be mityachas if you'll be like bin chabor min averes kachavim min hashivcho. It's not b'no at all for any intents and purposes. But Koyde Matan Torah doesn't matter because the nature of the mitzvah has nothing to do with whether it's going to be mamshach tushas Yisrael or not. Lacha Matan Torah, then the Mishnah says that bin chabor min averes kachavim min hashivcho is not kari bincho, and you're not yet to peri rivya with such children. That's a din lacha Matan Torah because the whole nature of the mitzvah was mishtaneh.
All the what do you mean to all the
they were all mityachas achra. They weren't shivchak noyim.
They shivchak kol.
Yeah. No. But all of his children were mityachas achra. The Rebbeinu Shalom told Avraham that only Yitzchak is going to be mityachas. Then Yitzchak was told, "Be Yitzchak, we'll call Yitzchak." And he had twins from the same mother, twins. And he was told only Yaakov and not Esav. Esav is not going to get the kedushas Yisrael. But then Yaakov was mitos shleim, all of his children were Jewish. And then from that time on, we don't have such a thing that a Jewish parent give birth to children. Some of them are Jewish, some of them are not. From Yankee Fine, we have mitos shleim. No, apparently it wasn't a shivchak nine. Apparently it wasn't a shivchak nine. It was a pilegish, but apparently it wasn't a shivchak nine. So the la'acha matan Torah, apparently the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The nation of Yitzchak Matan Torah no longer contains that element of the Chipshua. You don't find in any place that Bizman is there, there's a Kima Mitzvah, and flying to the moon, and studying physics, and studying chemistry, and doing all these things. If the Ait says in the Chumash the Chipshua, that was Koyde Matan Torah. The whole nature of the Mitzvah is different.
You should not talk about science, about stars, about
yes. That's a mitzvah. The Gemara says, Kichach Matzum, that's a chelik of the mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. But not to conquer the world. not to conquer the world, that's not. The Gemara says, to know all the chachmas is an Indian of a mitzvah. But not to conquer the world, Chipshua was a mitzvah, Koyde Matan Torah. Because that was the nature of Puruvu at that time. But Lacha Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah was Nishtana. It only applies to the Yidin, not to the Gemara. So the nature of the mitzvah is to perpetuate the Klal Yisrael. That we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the Melech over his quality source. If they're not going to give birth to any children, there won't be any quality source to be the Am Hashem. So the mitzvah now only applies if I marry a Jewish girl. If I live with an Asian sister, I live with a Zion, also the children will be Jewish.
it's not mutter to live with an Eishes Ish or to live with a Zayna, but it's not mutter but I'll still fulfill a mitzvah b'reivya. But if I live with a Shivcha Knayas or I live with a Nachris and the Bein is not Mitziach and Sachra, the Bein will be a Goy, then there's no Kima mitzvah at all. One only fulfills the mitzvah b'reivya if the children are Jewish. In fact, some parts say l'aloche, what if a person will have, he knows in advance that the country that he lives in is such that if he'll have children, they'll be yoytzei the tarbus raw. They won't be observant at all. So then some parts can say that he's not yoytzei the mitzvah. Let's say a person has children who become a shumadim. They convert to another religion. So even though Yisrael, Afal Pi Shenishtamid, remains the Yisrael, Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael, some parts can say he's not yoytzei Pirei V'Rivi, because Pirei V'Rivi, Lacha Matan Torah, is legamri different from Kodem Matan Torah. You're only yoytzei this man, Lacha Matan Torah, the mitzvah is only for the Yidin. You're only yoytzei, if you give birth to children, will be mamshech as Yidin, but they're not going to mamshech as Yidin, isn't it? So that's what the Medrash says, that even though Yitzchak already, even Avraham Avinu knew already in advance, that any other children he's going to have will not be called Zera. Only be Yitzchak called a Zera. The others will be Goyim. Nevertheless, Abayk is Razarecha, Kodim Atan Torah, that was an extension of the Din. At the end of today's parsha, in Chayei Zorah, the Chumash describes the way Avraham married again for the third time. First he was married to Hagar, first he was married to Sarah, and he had no children. Then he married Hagar and they had a son Ishmael. Then he had a child, Yitzchak, from his wife Sarah. Then Sarah said they should take away Ishmael. They take away, goodbye, give her a gift, goodbye. Now the prophet says in Parsha and Shishi, Vayesav Avraham Ikach Isha Shmo Keturah. He marries a woman whose name is Keturah. Who is Keturah? Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Zu Hagar. Why she called Keturah? He gives you various reasons why Keturah. So it's interesting, this Hagar was a Shivcha Mitzri. She was originally from the Egyptian nationality. The Gemara has a famous comment at the end of Kiddushin, Tiyam Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula Asher Lai Mitzvah. Even though Avram Avinu was only given over and above the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Anech, he was only given an additional Mitzvah of Mila, but on his own he volunteered to fulfill all of the other Mitzvahs, even Erev Tavshilin. The Gemara says he even fulfilled the Mitzvahs of Rabbanim. So the Maharsha and that Gemara and the Leo Zafin Kiddushin asked Akasha, if this is really so, that Avram Avinu volunteered to keep all of the Mitzvahs on his own, so how did he marry a mitzvah? It says in the Chumash that you're not permitted to marry any non-Jew who converts to Judaism. You're permitted to marry, unless you're a Kohen. The Kohen is not permitted to marry a Ziyorit. But one who's a lady or a Yisrael may marry a Ziyorit or a Gina, unless the person comes from Amon or Moyov or Mitzri Zedani. These four nationalities you're not permitted to marry. So how come Avraham married Hagar? So the first time, how come Avraham married Hagar? That's not Akasha. Why the first time they married Hagar? That was before he had the Brit Milah. And the Maharsha comments also at the end of Kiddushin that he only volunteered to fulfill the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to give later, after the Rebbe gave him a mitzvah of Milah, then he had a status, something special, different from everybody else, then it makes sense that he should volunteer. But Kozma, that he wasn't given the mitzvah of Milah, it didn't make any sense that he should volunteer to fulfill any mitzvah. But after he was already married to Hagar, and then he was given the mitzvah of Milah, so why didn't he divorce Hagar then? He doesn't use Kinkashi either. He's not Mechuyas. He's volunteering mitzvah. He goes divorce his wife in order to volunteer a Halig and mitzvah. There's something that's not right, no? He's only Mechuyas to fulfill the seven mitzvahs in America, mitzvah Milah. So he's going to go divorce his wife because he wants to be a Halig and tzaddik, wants to volunteer the terrifying mitzvah of the earth. So that doesn't make any sense. Okay. So there's no kasha why Avraham Avinu didn't get rid of his wife Hagar right after he got the mitzvah Milah. But then Lebetov, he did send her away. Then when Yishmael was starting up with Yitzchak, so he does send away Yishmael and he sends away Hagar. Goodbye. He sent her away already. So then why did he remarry her over here? Because he took back the wife Hagar. If he's really volunteering to keep all the mitzvahs that the Torah is going to give later on, so now the Masha is bothered with the kasha on this week's schedule. Why did he take back Hagar? Let him not take it back. Why he doesn't divorce in the first place? That's not a kasha. A person doesn't divorce his wife as an act of midas chassidus. But he desires his wife, he wants his wife to profit some kind of a chumrah. His wife is a religious woman. He wants his wife to profit some kind of a chumrah, and she doesn't want to go along, so that's not grounds for divorcing his wife. She'll be a nice religious woman without the chumrah. But if he already did divorce Hagar,
So why did he take it back? If there's an Indian to volunteer the mitzvahs that are going to be given later, why doesn't he volunteer it? So I remember several years ago when the Daf Yomi made a siyum on Gemara Kiddushin. He just made a siyum a few months ago on the month of Yisrael. It must have been 7 years ago. How often do they make a siyum? Every 7 years or something. Every Shmita? Yeah. So about 7 years ago they made a siyum on Gemara Kiddushin. And there was a big party in Washington Heights. So they invited at that time Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky to come and walk on foot speech. The first Rabbi Schwab spoke. And then after Rabbi Schwab spoke, Rabbi Kamenetsky. Rabbi Schwab mentioned it. When they finished Kiddushin, Rabbi Schwab mentioned this kasha from the Maharsho. So Rabbi Kamenetsky got up afterwards and he said, as Rabbi Schwab was speaking, it occurred to him a terrace on the Maharsho kasha. And he threw it out to the audience to think about it. He doesn't know whether the terrace is correct or not. It occurred to him an idea. There is a pasuk in last week's Seder by the Akedo. In the end of Parshas Vayera, where Avraham Avinu tells the Ne'orim who came with him, Shvulachem po im hachamor. You stay here with the hamor, with the donkey, v'ani v'anar, and we'll go bring the karbonis and you stay here. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk, im hachamor, that the Nevis Kenani has a status, am hadom al hachamor, as if in like a behemoth. With respect to what? What do you mean like a behemoth? You can ride on an Nevis Kenani like you ride on a behemoth. You're not allowed to. If you kill you can't kill an Nevis Kenani, then you shall not kill so. Like I said, as I did, it says, Lashir Tzach applies to an Evik Nani also. What do you mean, Amadam Rahamah? It means with respect to Yichud. That if an Evik Nani is Mekadosh in Isha, the Kiddushin, the Mekadosh in Israeli, or even Mekadosh in Shikha Knaimi, or Mekadosh in Goy, whoever is Mekadosh, there's no Tzitzah Tzitzah, there's no marriage. And if he's living with a woman, Bekriyas, he doesn't have to give a get. They don't have to get divorced, there's no Tzitzah Tzitzah. And an Evik Nani has no Yachas to his children. Ain't the norm is Yachas after. So the Gemara derives all of that from this person. Amadom al-Hamor has no yachas, neither to his wife, nor to his children, nor to his parents, nor to his brothers and sisters. There's no yachas, there's no kurvos mitzvah. Rabbi Kamenetsky, the Chama Bracha, suggested that it occurred to him, he said, we should check it out to see if it's correct. I've been looking for the last 7 years, I didn't find one way or the other. He said, we should look another 7 years. He said, maybe the din runs as follows. If a non-Jew who came from the nationality of Amun Amoyor, or mystery, or Edomi, one of these four nationalities convert, but since they belong to that nationality, so they're labeled as an Amoini, Mayovi, Mitzri, Edomi, we're not permitted to marry them. But what happens if they convert, they don't become right away a ger, to convert from a non-Jew to a Jew. They convert to become a Shivcha Knainis. And once they have the status of a Shivcha Knainis, then we say, Ein lo yachas. So maybe the halach of Ein lo yachas means they don't relate to a husband or a wife, they don't relate to any members of the family, perhaps they don't relate to any nationality. So maybe if you can, maybe if a non-Jew from Amun Amoya, Allah HaMait, I mean, it's not Allah HaMait, we don't have any Amun Amoya. The Gemara says the Bizman Azeh, there's no Amun, there's no Moya, there's no nothing. But Bizman, that they knew who these people were, Amun Amoya, Mitzvah, Zagayim, if they'll convert in stages, if they first convert to become an Eretz Kanaini, and then they'll convert to become a Yisrael Goma, maybe when they'll reach the stage of Eretz Kanaini, the yachas to all nationality will be lost, just like the yachas of marriage and the yachas to children and family is lost. And maybe then if they'll convert to Gamre, maybe they won't have the status of mitzvah. He said, maybe that's the reason why it's mutter. Why was mutter for Avraham Avinu to marry Hagar HaMitzvah? Because since she was a Shivcha Knain at birth, maybe a Shivcha Ein Lo Yachas, and there was no relationship to the nationality. Is the Shailan there? Do you know what they're doing?
In the beginning of Parashat Chayitzora, we read the way Avraham Avinu wanted to have a separate Kever Yisrael. He wanted to have a separate cemetery for his wife, for the Jewish people. You're not permitted to bury together. So he offered that he wanted to buy the Maratan Achpel of money. And Ephraim wanted to give it to him for nothing. And he only insists he wants to buy the money. So the Mephoshim asked, why did he insist that he wants to pay so much money? What's the terrible level of somebody gives you for nothing? What's this? Let's say before Sukkot they sell us Reugin, they charge who knows what. I have a good friend, he sends me an estrog in the mail from Eretz Yisrael for nothing. What's the Aveira if he sends me an absolutely kosher estrog? If there's something fishy, he would keep gum with it if he didn't pay tax. Absolutely kosher Lamahatran, what's wrong? Egitta Matona, what's wrong? So they quote from the Zohar in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, they say that when they auction off the aliyahs, you should bid to get an aliyah. You should bid to get a schus to get an aliyah in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and the Yontif. And even if the Gabbayim will give you for nothing, you're the rabbi or you're about to care, whatever, you should still insist that you want to pay money, because if they quote the Yisrael Vishara Shavoy, there's a Musa statement. The Balam Chava lived in Vilna. He was a Nazi. He was is a big misnagid. That he quotes it from Isaiah that whenever a mitzvah comes very easy, there are kitrugim in heaven against the person. Because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that l'kum tzar rav, according to how much effort and energy you put into fulfilling the mitzvah, that's how much reward you're going to get. But not only you're not going to get so much reward, if the esher came in the mail, you didn't have to spend money for it. It's considered in a certain sense an avera. You have to work hard to get a mitzvah. So that's why Avraham Avinu didn't want the a Yiddish based akvaris. Everything should come easy. A Yiddish based akvaris for nothing. He insisted he wants to pay money. He needs an effort to insist he wants to give them nothing. No, he insisted he's going to give them money. So the Zohar learns enough in this parasha that the proper thing is whenever a person is interested in doing a mitzvah, it has to do it with shverikai. It shouldn't come too easy.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm assuming you give money when you get told anyway. Like we haven't forever. No one has it.
In Parshas Chayitzor, the Torah tells us that Avraham wanted to get a shita for his son Yitzchak, so he sent Eliezer, and he sent with him the camels to go travel to find a shita. So the pasuk says that Vayikach Ha'Eved Asar Gmalei Migmalei Adono Vayelach. What does it say? Migmalei Adono from Avraham Avinu's camels. It's a yichus that they belong to Avraham Avinu. Those ten, Vayikach Ha'Eved Asar Gmalei, he took ten. It's Jewish camels. The Rashi quotes the Medrash Rabbah, Nikorim Hoyu Mishar Gmalei, they were different. That they were muzzled in order to say, I guess, that they shouldn't nibble and anybody else feel they shouldn't steal. Then the Medrash has the same comment later. That's the question. That's what the Medrash talks about. So the Pasuk says that later when he finally came to Alir Nochor, and he comes to the city and he asks Rivka, is there a place to sleep? Well, a place to the camel? She says, yeah. He opened up their muzzle, and then they ate. So the Medrash says, and that's also that the whole time they were traveling, there was a Munim Hoyu, until he came there, and then he opened up their muzzle that they should be able to eat. So on the second pasuk, the second time he says it, these are the same Medrash Rabbah. On this pasuk it says it. On Pasuk Yud and Perikov Dalad, and then the Medrash repeats it again on Pasuk Lamed Beis. So on Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Medrash asks a question. If Pinchas ben Yair had a chamor that he used to ride on, and his chamor ben a heligit tzaddik, that's Abel, that it wouldn't eat any tevel, and it wouldn't eat any tzvua that didn't belong, it wouldn't steal anybody else's tzvua. So the Medrash says, what are you talking about? Avraham Avinu had to muzzle his camel? I mean, his camels weren't on the same adrega as Pinchas and Yair's camels, so the Medrash asked the question to blight on them. So what's the answer? So the Mefarshim on the bottom of the Medrash Rabbah point out, the Ramban HaChumash says that the Pshat is that the second Mandama disagrees with the first Mandama. He says, that's not why Avraham Avinu muzzled the camel. He muzzled for a different reason, whatever, that they shouldn't some other time. But it wasn't because he was afraid of Geneva. Because of this Kavachimer, he knew that his camels wouldn't nibble on anybody else's food because of the Kavachimer from Pinchas ben Yair. That's what the Ramban says. The second Mandam is asking Akasha, and he slugs up the first Mandam that he's wrong, that's not the reason. Other Mefarshim take issue with the Ramban. They say no, that the Medrash is Akasha, but the Akasha has a simple teretz. One teretz could be the name Tavich Malanet. True, you know that your camel or your azel is taka heligetan. But a normal camel sometimes has the etzahara to eat that it's camel. So he shouldn't rely on it. Another mefarshim on the bottom give a different answer. The camel on which Avraham Avinu himself traveled up by the Gemara Kalvachemus and Pinchas and Yair's camel. But this was not the camel that he traveled on. This was the old other camel. The camel that he rode on would never need a muzzle. The different comments that they give. But whatever the pshat is, the simple reading in the Medrash seems to be not like the Ramban. That's the blight does that. The pasuk says that he did muzzle a camel to prevent them from stealing from other people. So I put up Shlomo Lazuna has in the Hagdama to his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, all Sefer, the Pilpul Sefer, Shuvas La'alocha. In the Hagdama he writes Kedush Ma'achumish and Rashi. He writes from his father, then he has his own. Then he has from his son-in-law. So he has this piece from his son-in-law. He says, his father with a kashu. Why did the Medrash wake up all of a sudden on pasuk Lamed Beis? On Pasuk Yud, where it says that the Migmale Adonov, so the Medrash, Rashi quotes the Medrash, that there was a Mumin not to steal. The Medrash doesn't ask any kasha, why do they have to muzzle those animals? only on this later pasuk the Medrash asks the kasha. Why didn't the Medrash ask it on the first pasuk? So Rav Shlomo Levilner suggests an answer, and then he quotes the son-in-law told him a very good answer that he wants to write over in his face. And he has the following idea. It's interesting. I'll elaborate a little bit. There's a pasuk in the beginning of, he doesn't quote, but a pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra says, Adam Yakrib Mikem Togon Hashem. So Rashi quotes in the Shifra, Mikem Vabay Agozel, Adam, like Adam Arishon, Adam Arishon owned everything. And then the Medrash continues. What do you mean Minagozel, Minagezel? Everything belongs to the Rabban Shalom. So why can't you bring Minagezel? So the Medrash says, Moshal Madar Adayme, the king is traveling on the highway and he gets to the place where you have to pay the toll. You have to pay the mechas. And then the king tells the Avodim, pay the mechas. So they turn around and say, we should pay the mechas. But you're going to get all the mechas. What are you going to pay the mechas? Just tell me you're the king. Show me your card. You're the king, you have to pay. So he says, no. Let me show everybody that I pay mechas. So they'll just pay mechas. Everybody's going to pay mechas. So the Rabban Shalom says, don't bring me any kavanas menagezel, even though the whole world belongs to me. Lashem Lashem, everything belongs to me. So there's really nothing wrong with the bringing a carbon hagazel. But I want my people to know that they shouldn't steal from each other. So I'm going to tell them, don't give me anything that's stolen either. Even though, as far as I'm concerned, nothing is stolen. I have the right to take back anything. But I want to train them that they shouldn't steal. Like the Melech wants to train the people that they should pay the meches, so he pays. The Rabban Shalom wants to train the people that they shouldn't steal. So Shlomo Vilna Sonala suggested that maybe that's the beer over here also. Achilik to Eretz Yisrael and Chutzla. Pasuk Yud Gven and Eretz Yisrael, he says. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody knew that the Rabban Shalom had told Avram Avinu, Kum Yisrael Baruch Lo, Yerach Bekil Chayet Nena. Eretz Yisrael belonged to him. And they all told him, Kim Yisrael Lekim Atar Besachenu. The Minucha Kareh and Kareh Yisrael, you can take whatever you want. You're the owner of the whole Eretz Yisrael. They all knew that, apparently, that he owned Eretz Yisrael. So still he went around with muzzles on his animals in order to teach everybody a lesson. Did he know everything is mine? He wanted to train them with the idea of Gzela, that they should know that even he's not going to steal, he's not going to take the tzvuah. He's not going to let his animals eat the hay. Even everything is his, the Kal V'Chomer, that they should be Nizer and Gezel. But that's only an Eretz Yisrael Zakta, because everybody knew who he was, that Eretz Yisrael belonged to him, and he's still Nizer. So they would see a lesson, this holy tzaddik Avraham Avinu goes with the Hems of the Mumim, that they would learn the lesson. But in Chutzalar, nobody knows who in the world this man is. He can pull out all the cards he wants in the world. They never heard of Avraham Avinu. He's traveling in, it's not Avraham Avinu, it's Eliezer Eved Avram. No one knows who he is. They don't know he has special animals. So what is he going to gain by having the animals muzzled? So Elabas, he was really afraid the animals are going to nibble from the gagazel to tzvua. So that's when the Medrash finally wakes up and asks the kasha, what was he afraid of? They're not going to eat anyway. It's a kavah chamer from Pinchas ben Yoris chamer. That's where they only asked the kasha on the second part of Naranah.
The Medrash.
I remember many years ago on Rosh Hashanah, the Mashgiach spoke in the yeshiva, Rav Leitman Zichron Lechavcha spoke in the yeshiva before Tkiyas. He gave a Musa Shnur. So he said, the meaning is that we blow Meir Kodesh. So the Rishonim say, what is the idea of blowing Meir Kodesh? So the Taisus quotes from the Aruch that when Sisera was killed in battle, for his mother, it says in the pasuk, his mother was crying. Hem Sisera about the Yavim, she was crying. And Taisus quotes the name of the Aruch that she shed 100 tears, so that's why we blow Meir Kodesh in this Kiyas Shem.
What?
Okay, different version. Others quote a different medrash. Many quote that Sora cried by the Shas Akeda. What do we have to remember, sister? So others say no, that the Kirshaga has to do with the Akeda, and when the Sultan told Sora that Yitzchok was brought for the Akeda, so she got a heart attack and she died right away, and before she had a chance to die she was crying, so she shed 100 tears, so we blow Meir Kodesh connected 100 tears. What's the idea that you blow Meir Kodesh connected the 100 tears of Sora, connected the 100 tears of Sisera's mother? What's the connection? I remember the Mashgiach held a drasha in the yeshiva before Tkiyas. This is his style of Musa. So he said a lot of times people are interested in doing mitzvahs l'shem shamayim and they don't care how it's going to affect other people. Avraham Avinu going to do an akedah, and maybe his wife's going to get a heart attack. The Baruch Shalom told me to do an akedah. Cross nuts, my wife is there, and they get a heart attack. Or let's say the Yidden were doing a mitzvah, they had to kill Sisera. So Sisera was the chief of the Goyish army, So it's a mitzvah to kill him. But his mother was a nice old lady. What the? She didn't encourage him to go kill Jews. He was from the PLO. Mother was a nice old Palestinian lady. She never had anything against anybody. The verse is he never shulded. So that's what we need a kapara for the occasions that we do mitzvahs and we hurt other people along the way while we're doing our mitzvahs. In Yiddish, there's an expression that a person puts on a talus and as he's throwing the talus over his head, he smacks the other people in the face with the tzitzit. He's doing his mitzvah with his atis and he doesn't care how it knocks other people, how it affects other people. So that's not right. Even when a person is doing mitzvahs, he has to be very careful to see that he shouldn't affect other people. So we on Rosh Hashanah, we try to gain a kapara. Not only do we need kapara for the things that we really did wrong, for the averes, we even need a kapara for some of the mitzvahs that we do. Because a lot of times we're very insensitive when we do mitzvahs, and we don't care about the way it will affect other people. Famous kasha that the Velt asks on the Medrash that Rashi quotes on Parshas Chayisora when Avraham Avinu requests of Eliezer Eved Avraham that he should go get a shidduch for his son Yitzchak Davka from his mishpacha and he shouldn't let the Yitzchak marry Benayis Kanaan. So Eliezer says that what's going to be Ulai Lo Sevu Hishal Alecha Tacharai, what if the girl from Aram Naharaim won't want to come back there to Israel? And Hoshe Bashev is Bincho. Should I bring Yitzchak back to Chutzlatz? Avraham Avinu says, Chalila, Yitzchak was an oil of Mimon, and he's not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. His carbon is Nifsal the Yotzei, and he's not likely he has to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And if it doesn't work out, that the girl doesn't want to come here, so make sure. Huh? But make sure he doesn't marry in Bereis Kanaan. Let him marry a different girl in Eretz Yisrael, but not from the Bereis Kanaan. The Rashi quotes in the Medrash, why is the word Ulai? How come Ulai is missing a book? He likes it because Eliezer really had in the back of his mind, he had a daughter, and he was looking for Shidduch for his daughter. So he's a Talmud Chacham. Eliezer knew how to learn. Eliezer was a domestic. And Avraham is a Chashid Talmud Chacham. Yitzchok said, what's wrong? Let your son marry my daughter. So he had the intention, Eli. So Avraham Avinu said, nothing doing. That, that's what he told me. No. So the Velt Rashi quotes that message. So the Velt Rekta Kasha, the Mepharshim Rashi point out the Kasha that it says twice, Ula lo sevu hishal lelecha tachar. The first time, when the story is written, that Avram is asking Eliezer, and Eliezer is talking back to Avram, there it's written, Alav Rav Lamed Yud, Ulai. Only the second time, when Eliezer repeats the story to the girl's family, there it's Chasa. So why isn't Chasa the first time? So there are many answers given. It's an interesting question. Many answers are given. So there's a beautiful essay that Rav Dessler has on this kasha that he answers it in such a fashion that mom is so true. We see in life it's so true. That people a lot of times do things or say things because of personal negiyah. And the negiyah is such a tricky thing. Not only does the person not realize that what he's saying or what he's doing is because of the negiyah, he doesn't even realize that he has a negiyah. Sometimes I say, Lamashal, people call me up about a certain boy, a shidduch for a boy. I say, I personally don't like the boy. So you should always keep in mind, I don't, let's say they ask about a recommendation, a person, a teacher, an aisle, something. So I say, I personally dislike him. So you have to ask someone else in addition, because it could be that everything that I'm saying is all because of my personal dislike for this person. But I think that even objectively speaking, he's rotten and he's miserable and he has a crooked nose and he's blind and he can't fix it. So I realize I have a personal negiah. So I personally dislike him. I realize I have a negiah, but I think that what I'm saying is not machmas a negiah. But many times, people don't even realize that they have a negiah. The negiah is such a... The human mind is so fickle, we don't even realize that we have a negiah. So that's how Rav Dessler has in an essay. He says when Eliezer was negotiating with Avram, he said, go to Avram Naharaim, get a shidduch. Eliezer absolutely has a negiyah, but it was so hidden in his subconscious, he didn't even realize that he had a negiyah. He didn't even realize why he was asking, maybe the girl won't, why shouldn't the girl not want to come? Only later, when he came to Avram Naharaim, and everything worked out. Hakvit and Saderech, and all the Hamayim the cross, and he saw it, Mamish Ben Hashmayim, this is absolutely the Zivik Ben Hashmayim, no two ways about it. And then he's telling over the whole story to the girl's family. Then Ereshti realized that when he spoke to Avram, he had a negiyah. Then he said, Ulai Chasavah. But originally,
when he was Nogea, later on he wasn't a Nogea. He saw that this was the Shidduch. So later he realized Lamafreya, but Bishas Meister, when he was speaking, he didn't realize that he had the Nogea.
That is the Vilna Gula. I would like.